about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, I would ask you all to leave your genitals at the door and bring your minds to these pieces. I don't believe people always think about sex when they see a naked body. I believe they think about their own minds, their own bodies, and their own power. And that's what this show is really about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The tradition of blowing out candles is probably the worst tradition in the history of mankind. All the germs from your breath are all over food other people are going to eat. Everybody eats it, they go home, they get sick, they wonder how they got sick because they went to a birthday party.
How do you come up with this stuff? Where does this come from? Why?
And now.
And meanwhile, where's Kevin? Oh, guess what? He's dead.
Our feature presentation.
Man, I don't feel like he's dead.
I don't know. That kid is very believable.
It sounded like he was very convicted.
I felt like he was dead until about 20 seconds ago.
Oh, Beam, stop it.
And then he walked in the room, and I thought, you know what?
He's alive.
He is risen.
Yeah.
He is risen.
It is odd to hear that beginning of the show start when I'm in the hallway.
Mm. Well, it's odder that you're not here earlier.
I mean, sure. Did I take a wrong freeway today? Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that happens.
Freeway. We've been here 8 months or something like that.
you got on the wrong road?
Yeah, I was supposed to stay on the 101 into Hollywood, which I do every single day, and somehow I ended up on the 134. I don't know how.
Huh.
You know how it just splits two lanes to the left?
Kevin is like a human Dungeons & Dragons game. You know how you just roll the dice and whatever happens, that tells the story?
Okay.
But every day.
Every day.
Just roll the dice. Whatever happens. Okay.
That is my life, yeah.
And every decision.
Mm-hmm.
Every
Kevin, decision is God made. Damn it.
By a roll of the dice.
So well, when did you realize you were on the 134?
I was in Ventura.
As they split, I was like, you know what?
Sitting over there.
Sure can't get over there now.
Yeah. All right.
Kevin, so, you're such a disease.
How dare you?
Oh.
And how'd you feel about how things were going at that point?
Oh, I felt pretty good.
Okay.
I felt, you know what? That's one of the only times in 8 months.
Yeah.
That's a, okay. I'm going to take that as a win.
It is a victory.
Did you contemplate doing like a remote from Glendale?
No. I assumed that I would still be able to get here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Thank you.
Well, it is, I don't want to steal your thunder, but it is Wednesday.
Hey, it's Wednesday, May 29th.
And I have a thing that I'm very interested in discussing, but I have been blindsided.
Uh-oh.
By the Westfield Topanga situation.
Oh, man.
I feel like instead we need to devote the time to solving one of the great mysteries of our time. Jensen, I'm going to hand it over to you right now.
Yeah.
Since you are actually married to Topanga, I think this is a category that you should explain rather
well,
than
I somehow found a mystery more complex than the idea that the woman who played Topanga goes to the Topanga Plaza a lot, which is kind of crazy, but not as crazy.
Do people bring that up, by the way, when they run into her in the mall?
No, they don't say it, but right. Muggs, who's the engineer extraordinaire this week, he did say he saw her as a child in that mall and thought it was very strange.
Crazy. It was like Inception.
I understand.
Yeah, totally.
I get it. So I can't believe I found something crazier, which is for the last, I guess, 2 years, I have noticed that on a parking garage at the Topanga Westfield Topanga Mall, it says Westfield, which everyone knows if you're a Los Angeles resident, that's signature in red.
Right.
So it says that in large. And then above it, where it would say Topanga, that would make a ton of sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Instead, it's the name of the mall.
Name of the mall. Instead, it says Topanga, as we all think. And in front of the Topanga, completely filling up the entire sign, very large sign, perfectly fitting it, is an NGA in front of the Topanga. So NGA Topanga.
All right, I have a question for you because I've been to that mall many, many, many times.
Yes.
Is this new or has it always said that?
So last night I tweeted about it.
Okay.
Because
saw that. That's what got me interested.
We have talked, Danielle and I have talked about it for months. It has bothered me. We've really contemplated. We've played out every scenario as to why that would be the case. And last night I tweeted about it, and a lot of people have this way to check Google Maps from years back.
Oh, to see the sign before? Okay.
Correct. It has said NGA Topanga since 2007 for sure.
Wow.
Because the people found pictures of that. Like, right. Now, the mall has went under tons of reconstruction. At any time spending this money, they could have fixed this sign.
Right.
I can't figure out for the life of me why an NGA would start the Topanga, and it fits perfectly, so it's not like it ever said Topanga, 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 but let's also not pretend that would be insane.
Right.
Of course it would be. Okay, here's a question. I'm looking at your photo right now.
Yes.
Does it look to you like the NGA and then the rest of the Topanga word are separate letters, or is it all printed out together on no, one
looks the
thing?
Same.
I would say my belief
are
from looking at it
letters?
Is that they are separated.
Okay, they're separate letters. So it would have been very easy at any point for somebody to go and just remove the front NGA.
I mean,
then they
yes.
have to move over the Topanga.
They would move
though.
Over the Topanga, correct. Mm-hmm. They would move
but it
over
could be done.
To center it, and it should be done. Now,
right.
someone last night on Twitter did also notice that the A in Topanga, the ending A, is sliced a bit to fit the sign, as well as the first N is sliced a bit. So
I love this.
What are they
doing? They have interns doing their sign.
Yeah, like what are they doing that it was sliced to fit on that sign? And how come no one has... Now, I want to go over North Garage access. It's not on the north side of the mall.
It's not terrible.
So,
okay.
Which
what
I thought,
about the Nerd Girl Alert, though? What about that?
Yeah, someone did bring up Nerd Girl Alert, which I thought was kind of odd for the mall.
That was a reach.
Yeah, I also want to say there's no SGA, WGA, EGA. There's no directionals. You know, this is also just not the North Garage. It is bonkers, and it is a mystery for the ages.
Is the company that owns it Westfield?
Yes.
And is it possible that there's a bigger company that's...
Yes, and I have emailed both of them.
I did say to myself, there's no one with a more journalistic background than her on this staff, because immediately
she's
she
own
said...
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, immediately she said, well, I've emailed them. We did retweet it on @KevinandBean right now, so you guys can see the picture, but it is truly a mystery that... I can't fathom the design. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
I can't
bizarre.
Either because there was a meeting where they said, okay, it's called the Topanga Mall. Mm-hmm. Here's what the sign should look like. And somebody should have raised his or her hand and said, why are there three extra letters? It's the Topanga Mall.
Mm-hmm. And then somebody else said, oh, it was a mistake. And then they all sat there for a minute.
But
and
I
they
don't
went,
think it was
eh,
a mistake.
You guys want pizza?
I got to be honest with you. I don't know how it could be a mistake.
I agree. I don't think it is a mistake. I think it was a conscious choice. But why? I can't understand what they're going for.
Now, if at the end of the traditional Topanga, if at the end of the final A, it then said T-O-P, terrible idea, and you shouldn't yes. be in charge of logos, but at least I see
yeah.
the common sense of it.
Like they were finishing it.
Yeah, like, oh, like yeah, it's almost like a scroll.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you're seeing it passing. But I just can't. I can't tackle it.
And it's been there over 10 years.
That's what we were. That's what I was told yesterday by these Google Map histories.
Thousands of people have seen it
yeah.
and probably had this question. I wonder if anyone's ever asked them before. I wonder if Ali is the first. There's a guy sitting in an office just waiting for an email.
I got an email.
Or what if I just won like $1 million?
Right? They're like someone, once they finally notice and ask it,
yeah.
they win.
It's like
yeah.
You know, like Da Vinci Code. I solved Da Vinci's
very
code.
Very similar. But
also, a couple people yesterday from the Valley did tweet at me and say, you know, this has been killing me. There were other people
really?
Who've been bothered by it, and I just don't understand it.
Well, I got a response, and they said, we will respond to your email inquiry within 48 hours.
Okay.
You may also contact our guest services team by text message, and then listed the times.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the time by 5 minutes last
oh,
time.
Come
5 minutes!
Oh,
I was like, oh, we could have solved
there
this.
Went the Pulitzer.
But also, it says, if there's an immediate security concern, please call, and then a number. And I thought,
well.
Do I do it?
I mean, I do have concerns.
The answer to that is absolutely.
I do
a
have
lot
concerns.
Of concerns.
This mall, it is our hometown mall since we were children, both mm-hmm. Danielle and I, and it's our favorite mall, and it's almost like we've wanted to fix this for them.
Yes.
Like, we
right.
want...
All right, here's what
end.
We do.
Yeah.
We go in the middle of the night.
Yeah. No,
we wear
we're
ski
gonna,
masks.
We're
uh-huh.
not gonna do that,
and
Kevin.
Then we just paint over the NGA.
Right.
And
all
we
right.
take care of it for them. I think they'll thank us.
And we have to cut the end of that final A off. We have to slice that.
All of it should be sliced.
All of it needs help.
I mean,
help.
Maybe we need to replace the whole thing.
Yeah.
They got to change it, guys. This,
right?
This can't stand.
But
it doesn't make any sense.
No, and again, I just want to reiterate, all of the thoughts you're having as to why. If you're listening right now and you have to remember, it fits perfectly on the sign.
Yeah. I'm going to say it was put there on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the problem.
So why?
With all of your theories, just continue to remember it fits perfectly.
Okay, dumb question, but then we have to move on.
There are no dumb questions.
Okay.
Only
wait
dumb people.
For it.
Only is a dumb mall.
Is it possible that there was a company? I know this is stupid, but we just got to rule everything out, right?
Yes, please.
Is it possible that there was a company before Westfield bought the shopping center whose initials were NGA? That was the name of the company that owned the Topanga Mall before Westfield.
No, before it was Westfield, it was the Topanga
Mall.
Topanga
Plaza was its name before the
Topanga. But I don't know who owned it. Yeah. That's why I'm throwing it
out. I don't believe it was owned by, I mean, it was obviously owned, but it was not owned by a larger company that would have had a name. But it was called the Topanga Plaza at that time, which again gets us nowhere.
Right. So now it's the NGA Topanga Westfield.
Yes. And by the way, if they want to commit to that, please do. The NGA Topanga Plaza or the NGA, the Westfield NGA Topanga. We'll just call it that.
Have you gone to the other parking garages?
Yes.
And they all say NGA?
No.
No, just that one.
Just this one.
Okay, that is weird.
Yeah, no, I've been to all the garages. I made sure there's no SGA. You know,
right,
I've done
all
the things I have to do. Okay. Also, it's not the north side of the mall.
You've done your due diligence.
Scares me that you have checked all the signs, though.
Oh, yeah. Danielle and I'm like Indiana Jones. She's like Short Round. We're just walking around the mall trying to solve this mystery.
How is Danielle, A, not the face of this mall?
I know.
And she should be the one that they reach out to and say, listen, Danielle, we are sorry.
Yeah, we are sorry that we blew this.
Let us fix this.
What if they never saw it?
What if they put it up and you're going to point it out and they're going to go,
what the heck?
Why does that say that?
Crystal so Waters just tweeted it and says, it looks like the word Topanga just wraps around the top. I wonder if there are letters on the backside of the sign. By the way, not
bad.
One of the better suggestions.
Yeah.
I would say I don't see any letters behind, but what a decision that would be.
We should go right now.
I know. This is Field Trip City.
Please, keep us posted. Now, will we solve this mystery first or hear back from Limp Bizkit? Which is likely to happen first?
I'm going to say neither.
Quite a toss-up.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay?
I don't know that it's dangerous. Mm-mm. I think we're good. Products you would like to bring back based on the new Coke. Mm-hmm.
Topanga Plaza is one.
Topanga Plaza. I'd like to bring back that one. We also have animal stories on the program today.
We do.
People are dying at Mount Everest.
Yeah.
More than usual.
Yeah, dumbasses. And also Bert Kreischer will join us in the studio.
Oh, the machine.
Love him so much. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Animal Stories next hour will introduce you to someone who calls himself the Slang Man. And DJ Omar Khan is hot, but he's a lying liar who lies. All of that straight ahead. First, Allie's got her first What's Happening for Wednesday.
Well, here was the original story yesterday. Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, of course, played Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. He was hit hard by the show coming to an end, so hard that he checked himself into a rehab center for stress and alcohol before the final episode aired. According to the New York Post, the actor entered a luxury Connecticut facility for a mental health retreat weeks before the May 19th finale, and he's been getting treatment for stress, exhaustion, and alcohol abuse. And then TMZ said that Kit's reps got back to them, saying that he has decided to utilize this break in his schedule as an opportunity to spend some time at a wellness retreat to work on some personal issues. But they said that there's no rehab and emphasized the word wellness retreat. Here's another part of the story that just made me go, what? This facility is believed to cost over $120,000 a month.
Holy crap.
So they better be doing a lot of wellness at that retreat.
I've never hoped someone's addicted to something before.
It's insane.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. But
what
can
you possibly get for $120,000 a month? I mean, there's only comfortable enough rooms and good enough food to justify that.
Can't imagine.
I think privacy is a big part of it, too. Mm-hmm. That's I'm telling you about this Connecticut facility.
That's what I was going to say. It clearly worked.
Right.
Now we have every detail of this story.
Yeah. It is very sad, though, to see what a lot of the cast members on Game of Thrones did go through while
they saw
were
the finale.
Shooting. Well, no. I'm saying what they were going through during the shooting of it, talking about depression, talking about suicide, brain aneurysms. It's just, they went through a lot.
Yeah, they did.
If I've shot a war scene for 55 days straight, basically, I mean, it's like the Hearts of Darkness thing, the Apocalypse Now, you know, because people went crazy while filming that as well. Like, it's difficult and intense to do that stuff.
Messes with your head.
Yeah, people think
sure.
it's just like green screens and walk away. That's not how, you know, shots like that get created.
I mowed a lawn once, and I thought, I'm never going to recover from this.
Yeah.
It was a journey.
That's not really the same.
Were you also wearing like one of those heavy fur pelts?
No, I didn't have a fur pelt.
Did you have a sword?
I didn't need a sword.
Crown?
No crown.
Okay, but I'd say it's exactly the same.
But I mean, I was pushing the mower.
Sure.
Is what I'm saying. I wasn't riding it. I was pushing it the entire length of the yard and back.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
And I survived, so suck it up.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That's an odd thing.
Odd take.
Hey, folks. Right there.
Hi, sir. Hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin fans. He's getting his own talk show.
Oh.
USA Network has announced that the former wrestler will host his own talk show, Straight Up Steve Austin. It's been picked up for 7 episodes, and guests will include NFL quarterback Baker Mayfield, country singer Trace Adkins, NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt Jr., comic Gabriel Iglesias, WWE superstar Becky Lynch, and comics Rob Riggle and Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers. So it's going to premiere August 12th on the USA Network.
I'm into it.
Are you?
He has a great podcast. He's very funny.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot. He's got his podcast. He was the face of the reality competition series Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge, which what a coup to get Steve Austin for that, right?
Lucky.
Luck outs.
We should have Stone Cold back on the show. I remember him as being a very entertaining and interesting guest.
Agreed. Awesome.
All right. I mean, let's put it out to the universe.
That's what you do. That's all you do is just put it out to the radio
Baxter
universe.
Baxter said so.
I like it.
Like he's here already.
I like it, you guys. Kevin, this story's for you.
Yep.
You like some Lucky Charms?
I mean, a lot.
Do you like the marshmallow part a little better?
Of course.
Okay. Are you aware that you can order 8-pound bags of just the marshmallows?
Have two of them.
Do you really?
I do.
All right.
They're giant, and they're just packed with those marshmallows.
Do you put that part into the actual cereal as well, just to have a heaping bowl of marshmallow?
You pour in your regular amount of soup.
You might do it.
That is a weird connection.
And then you just take the bag and you just dump it on top.
It's
breakfast of champions.
It's like double stuffed Oreoing your cereal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay, so the bag comes in an 8-pound bag, a 3-pound bag, or a 1.5-pound bag. I'm going to say you probably got the 3-pound.
I don't know. It's pretty big. It's bigger than the box.
Do you think it's 8-pound?
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
Kevin.
What? It was a Christmas gift. What am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do?
Turn it down?
I love my
good
soup.
Point.
What am
it's
I
good.
Supposed to do?
He
I need
loves
soup.
The soup. He loves the soup.
I need my soup.
You're right.
I think nobody should be making fun of Kevin for this. I think it
right?
sounds like a great... I mean, I think when he runs out of this 8 pounds of marshmallows, he's going to buy another one.
Right.
Yummy.
You don't ever want to be without that in your pantry.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's from a brand called By the Cup. It's a little shop in Indiana that's, doing God's work.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
Yeah. Good times right there. Hey, some birthdays for you guys. The greatest. Danny Elfman.
Love.
How much do we love him?
Oh, so much.
One of the Gallagher boys, Noel Gallagher.
He's the watermelon one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one who smashes the watermelons. Not his twin brother.
And his brother is Gallagher, too.
No.
No. These are the guys from Oasis.
You guys remember Oasis?
Yeah.
Liam and Noel?
Not sounding familiar.
Okay.
Melanie Brown, who's Scary Spice of the Spice Girls. You've got actress Laverne Cox, comedian Daniel Tosh, actor Rupert Everett, and actor Annette Bening.
By the way, in addition to tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Rose Luau and Beach Party on the program today, we also are going to hook you up with a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Dark Phoenix, which is I mean, Kevin, you're all in on the X-Men.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
X-Men. Sophie Turner is in this, Jennifer Lawrence, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and more. So that's coming up here on K-Rock. Right now, though, our new segment, DJ Omar Khan is hot, but he's a lying liar who lies. Hey, Omar.
Hey, what happened here? What did I do?
Were you aware that was...
I was not aware of that. It
wasn't said that way on the schedule.
Surprise!
Kevin and I have long had a policy on this program that we have shared with you out of the goodness of our own heart because we love you and we care about you, not you, the listener. And we have said, if we've said it once, we've said it a million times, Kevin, and that is never go home early.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right? Explain
of course.
Why.
Because if you just don't want to ever risk if something's going on, just... don't go home early. Maybe 15 to 20 minutes late in case there's, you know, wrapping things up.
Just
wow.
Kevin and I always assume the worst is happening, and we don't need to know.
What
okay?
kind of mess is happening?
Well, we don't know because we never come home early. So this is a man who is working for he's working nights for a small local newspaper, and he at one point is asked to drop off some flyers at a facility that is nearby his home. So he thought, hey, I'm going to swing by and check in on my adorable young family. So what do you suppose happens, guys?
She had set up lunch?
Yeah, no, she had a whole spread waiting.
Like a buffet? Yeah,
well, she had a spread waiting. Uh-huh. It wasn't for him.
Okay.
I was smitten with my family. I hated working at night, especially the part about being away from them. I pulled up in front of my house, and I immediately noticed there was a big black Dodge truck parked in my driveway.
Why's it got to be black?
Well, it just happened to be. Oh. This truck was not recognizable as belonging to anyone I knew, so I double-timed it to the front door out of concern for a possible intruder. Now, again, you listen to the Kevin and Bean master plan, you drive on by.
Yes.
That truck is not going to be right there when you get home if you come home at the regular time, okay? He continues, once at the front door, I could clearly hear sounds from the master bedroom window next to the door. Sounds I recognized as my wife engaged in coitus. Well said.
Oh, dear.
Who uses that word?
With some other dude grunting and moaning along. Noticing I went in through the front door, I sprang into action. I kicked the door the rest of the way open and said loudly, "Honey, I'm home," in a really sarcastic tone. The ensuing chaos was mildly hilarious. A blur of naked male ass cheeks streaked from my bedroom to the bathroom, then closed and locked the door. All right, here's where Omar deviates from, I think, the norm.
Okay.
And maybe we ask, Kevin, you're the young man in this scenario. You come home, your wife is, you know, is doing the...
First of all, I don't come home. I'm with you. Okay. Check your watch.
Drive right by. All right, you make the mistake, and you come home, and your wife is doing the hot tamale or whatever is going on in that bedroom. What's your reaction?
If the hot tamale is going on, I'm joining in, guys.
I mean, what's your reaction? I don't know.
How do you handle it in the moment?
Wouldn't your first instinct be to hit the guy?
Yes.
Thank you.
100%.
Mazatlan. Thank you. Okay. I looked in the bedroom. Hold on. I looked in the bedroom of my wife. She was sitting up in the bed, covered neck down with a sheet, sobbing, saying she was sorry over and over. I said as calmly as I could, "I'm going to see your guest out. Then I have to go back to work. But from now on, be a mother to our son." Then I picked up a pair of pants for the floor that weren't mine. And
put them on and went back to work.
Went to the bathroom door and said, "Man, I have your pants out here. Open it up and I'll pass them through. Then I need you to get the F out of my house." He opened it up, took the pants, and a minute later he came through the bathroom door and pow, I sucker punched him in the mouth the second his face came into view, drawing blood immediately. K-Rock microphones were there. Turns out,
still fighting, B.
Okay, sorry.
He's not fighting back. It's just one thing.
Right.
One guy.
That's quite a punch.
Oh.
That was it. The last one was
wow.
it.
He never called the police. It turned out he was a coworker at my wife's place of employment, was also married, didn't want to be found out. And now I regret what I did. It is and was against my nature to use violence in an offensive manner. At the time, I rationalized it as being self-defense. There was an intruder in my house. All right. So yesterday I bring this up, and Omar says what?
If I was in that same situation and I came home and I found... my wife having sex with some dude, I would be more disappointed and angry at her rather than the dude. And I would acknowledge...
Liar.
No, I would acknowledge the fact that this was happening and say, like, you know what, this, you know, we're through. This is, you know, at the time, right? I think this is what I think would run. And then I would go grab my kids and I would pack all her stuff and say, you know, sayonara, you know. And but my kids, I wouldn't punch that guy because I would think, okay, he could then, you know, grab me for assault.
You're
and all
giving
this.
Yourself a lot of thinking time. Yeah. It seems to me like this was all reaction.
For this guy, yeah. But now, the
but
way.
For any guy, I'm telling you, it would be a crime of passion and would be. I think it's more unlikely that you don't punch him than that you do. I think 99 out of 100 dudes are going to punch that guy in the face.
Listen, if I...
we don't have time for that.
If I didn't have children, and man, if my children didn't change the way I am so much, I would have said before, yes, totally 100%, I would have decked them and without any question. But now... I put them, everything I do in life, I put them in the equation so much that I know myself, and that's exactly.
Cuck, she said with a U, by the way, for first.
I got a delay, I didn't know.
So oh, you did know I said cuck.
See you.
So, yes, very different.
But
different
Omar, words. your small children, like in this case, are in bed. They don't see it. How does it affect them if you punch?
If the guy turns around and sues me for assault or whatever he can do, I'm screwed. I'm in jail because I assaulted this guy. And what if I really did do some damage and he goes on further, presses charges? No, I'm not down with that. Trust me, I was that guy who in my 20s was violent. I'm gonna kick. Let's go kick some ass. I was that guy. I am not
You're
that,
still
guy.
That guy.
I had no. I have no time for that kind of nonsense in my life anymore.
What
that
has guy. To happen in your life for you to hit somebody? Then, if a guy drilling your wife isn't enough, what has to happen?
Do you have to?
I don't love that.
I mean, I'm not going to say what I want to say, but there's certain things that get ugly or whatever that will affect me. That for sure, I'm going to go violent on somebody. But
don't you also think? You know what? Cassie deserves better.
and also, there's also a part of me where, it's just sex. Do you know what I mean? It's like
get
okay,
out.
Cassie, like, if you're listening, you get a pass.
No.
So's your boyfriend apparently.
It's like, you know, it's not like a tremendous huge deal. Like,
dude, but you don't have any idea, you know, when you walk in on it. You have no idea how long it's been going on, how much emotional contact.
Exactly. Like once I figure it out, and if I know it was an ongoing thing, or if it was a friend of mine, that would be different.
Omar's unable. A friend of mine.
Omar does research, then drives over to his house. I owe you a punch, and it hits him real bad.
It all is right, different, but I am not that guy anymore.
And you are a liar. Final question, because we're almost out of time, Omar, and this is serious, and I want you to respond seriously.
Okay.
Why the f*** you lying? Why you always lying? Ooh, oh, my God. Stop.
So, Ali, you're saying it's a lifetime dream. They spend years preparing for it, and then they finally climb Mount Everest, and you're saying they're dumbasses.
I'm saying that, yeah.
Kevin is also saying that.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought. I
no, I'm
missed,
down with
did
that.
Did I misinterpret it?
Yeah.
We look the same, so a lot of people get confused.
I thought
easy.
That
sound the same.
I thought that was your point, is that they're dumbasses.
Okay. That's me.
Okay.
It takes one to see one. So
we'll discuss that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how
maybe
about some animals?
A raccoon, a story about a dog.
I mean, all
maybe.
I...
What?
I said, first, though, how about some animal stories?
And then I was supposed to hit it? Okay, do it
then
again.
You hit it.
All right, do it again.
First, though, how about some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat. A rat, a story about a minx, or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
I want to thank contributor Jensen Karp to the Kevin and Bean Show for sending me an email. He's very helpful as a listener. And he sent me an email about an Amazon parrot in Brazil named Freddy Krueger.
All right.
Now, the reason the parrot is named Freddy Krueger is because he has a horribly disfigured face. And the reason his face is disfigured is because he was first brought to the zoo in Brazil about 4 years ago, having been severely injured in a shootout between police and gangsters during a raid on the drug den where he lived with his owner. Okay?
Man.
So he's been in this zoo for the last 4 years, and then and he was hit in the upper beak. He was blinded. He suffered burns to the feathers that grow between his eyes. Earlier this month, he was bitten on the leg by a snake, thankfully of a non-venomous variety.
It's his time to go, dude.
Yeah, he's done some things
let
in
him
his
go.
Life.
Yeah, Freddie's seen some stuff, man, before he went blind with a gunshot. He bled profusely but survived. Unfortunately, he was then stolen days later when three armed raiders burst into the zoo.
The raiders
the
did?
The raiders?
They're called raiders, yes, armed raiders, who burst into the zoo in Cascavel, overpowered the security guard, and made off with two parrots and a cylinder of gas. Why do you break into a zoo to steal parrots, by the way?
Are they expensive?
I don't know.
Janky one.
Yeah, not the one with a shot face.
It's got an eye patch. I don't know.
They apparently don't die. That's one thing I know about it. 2 days later, however, Freddie returned, discovered by zoo staff at the foot of a pine tree beside his cage. The details of Freddie's comeback remain murky, although drops of blood near his home have fueled speculation that the notoriously aggressive parrot bit his way out of wherever he was being held. He's a bit of a wild one.
He's a baller.
The zoo's vet was quoted as saying. They suspect that Freddie's mangled features might have proven his salvation given the limited market for deformed parrots. It's a sentence I never thought I would say. I don't know if Freddie is really unlucky or really lucky. What say you guys?
I'd say way unlucky.
I think we found the villain to the next John Wick movie, though.
Yes, oh, I agree.
Don't hate that.
A man in Florida has apologized. Oh, this story legitimately and seriously upset me. Allie, I'm sure you saw it yesterday. It was all over social media. He has had to apologize. He's a lawyer based in Clearwater, Florida. He forced a raccoon off of his boat into the surrounding water 20 miles from land.
Oh.
Wow.
So he pushes off from the dock and does not realize there is a raccoon on board. Once he sees that there is, he decides he doesn't want to be on a boat with a raccoon. There's no indication in this article that the raccoon, or in the man's Facebook post about it, by the way, that the raccoon was being particularly menacing, that it was attacking, that it was dangerous. The video that he posted, to me, looked like the raccoon was scared, didn't want to be there either, was clinging to the edge of the edge of the railing. And this guy went closer and closer to him until the raccoon just jumped into the water. What makes it worse for me is you can hear him in the video going, well, we're going to have to push him off. And then when the raccoon falls off or jumps off, he says, so long, sucker.
I think it's
unnecessary.
Did the raccoon rob him?
No. Although he was wearing a mask, Kevin. It just seems completely unnecessary to kill an animal like that if you don't need to. Now, raccoons are strong swimmers, but I don't think they're 20-mile strong swimmers. Do you?
I don't know that anyone is. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like that's a long way. Well, anyway, because he posted on the Florida on his Facebook page, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is investigating to see. And that's a dumb thing to do, by the way, is to post something like that anyway. One more story, because we're almost out of time here. This is a Craigslist ad from an unnamed woman in Richmond, Virginia. She asked if anyone had lost a cat. She said, I found this cat last night. He was stuck in between the fence, screaming his head off. I brought it inside because it looks too big and healthy to be a stray, and the dogs in our neighborhood escape often and will attack cats. It's very thick and has little stripes and spots on its legs.
Now it's being fat-shamed.
And big, white, round spots on the backs of his ears. The only thing that looks wrong with it is it doesn't have a tail.
This ain't a cat.
No. It's not a cat, Al. You're absolutely right. I took these pictures last night, so the lighting makes him look brown, but he's actually more gray, and he's very, very hungry. Please, if you're his owner, contact me as soon as possible. I can't keep him here. As cute as he is, he's gotten crazy, gotten into everything in the house, and seems to be extremely aggressive. Well, Craigslisters were happy to report that it was a wild bobcat that the woman had brought into her home, which apparently are very common in North America and known for their short bob tail. She was shocked by her mistake. She then updated her post to thank people for the advice. I want to thank everyone who told me this is actually a wild bobcat. What the F? No wonder he was so grumpy. I kidnapped him from the wild. I'm not from America. I've never even heard of a bobcat. I thought all wild cats were bigger than that. I can't believe I brought him inside. And he peed all over the damn house now, so I have to clean everything.
Not only that, he was rude.
Anyway.
He peed on my carpet.
I'm glad at least he's okay and not a lost cat. I've already let him back out near the trees where he came from. I'm also okay. No bites or scratches. So she got very, very lucky with a bobcat. You don't, I mean, look, I appreciate that you're trying to take care of the lady. I mean, her heart was in the right place. That could have ended very badly.
Sure.
Could have ended very badly. So don't do that. I think we've learned some valuable lessons today. R.I.P. Freddy Krueger at some point, I'm sure. This has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure.
One of the things I love about having Jensen on the program is he introduces us to new things all the time. He has a weekly feature called Get Up On This that he does on Thursdays. But throughout the week, he'll say, hey, have you guys heard about it? And it's usually, no. And oftentimes it's magic. And I'm feeling a little magic today.
Well, I hope not to let you down. His name is David Burke, but he's best known as Slang Man.
That's a great name, first of all.
It's a nickname I'm estimating is 55 years old. It's a white man who gave this to himself in the same way that I would just call myself, like, the buffest dude around or, like, Mr. Perfect Radio Voice. I found Slang Man during a local interview he did with KCAL9 here in L.A. 3 days ago, where the subject was to be, it was supposed to be, decoding your teen's text messages. So this was supposed to be for parents who are nervous about what their kids are texting.
Sure.
Something to keep in mind as you hear it. Now, Slang Man is an expert because, as his website shows, he sells textbooks, probably like 15 different ones, videos, manuals, all to teach people slang. In his bio, he brags that he supplied materials to Berlitz, UCLA, NYU, Boston University.
What? So he has credentials.
Yeah, an audience of 250 million with 120 countries. So that seems like an expert, right?
Sure.
So let's get into the segment that I saw on KCAL right now. You tell me if this is the Slang Man or if it's just Fred Armisen doing a character. Let's hear his origin story as to how he became the Slang Man.
Tell us first, though, what got you started writing these books about slang?
Well, I was at the gym with a French friend of mine working out, and someone came up to him. His name is Pascal. And his friend said, so Pascal, what's up? And Pascal takes a step back and starts checking out the ceiling.
Oh.
I said, no, that's just slang. And so to make things worse, his friend said, so Pascal, did you hear how the Italian soccer team licked the French team?
Oh.
And when his mouth dropped open, I thought, gee, what an interesting visual he must have just had.
Yes.
So I thought, there's a book.
Okay. Slang Man, none of that happened.
That never
none
happened.
Of none of
none
that.
Of that happened.
No. Oh, my, what's up? The guy looked at the ceiling? No.
What year was it?
Come up with a better story.
Was it the 20s?
The only thing that did happen is that Fred Armisen created a new character. That's awesome.
I can't believe this is a real thing. Okay. So where does he get his slang? What is his process?
Yeah.
So what happens is through Twitter, teens tweet me.
Oh.
And yesterday, I was at a party.
Uh-huh.
There were seven teens there. So I asked them a question. I'm going to call it physical slang. I asked them, okay, how do you guys shake hands? So, do you know about the typical teen handshake?
Yeah. It's always like kind of one of these.
You start this, and then you slide. You also slide back, and then you fist pump again. Yeah.
What is going on here?
Okay.
He's at a party with a bunch of teens.
Seven. It's very specific about the number, though.
None of them asked if he was a narc?
No. Hello, fellow kids. Okay.
Hey, kids, how do you shake?
Here's the other thing. The shake that he does do with her is just the normal handshake, slide back, fist bump. I mean, that's been around since, like, the 60s.
Yeah.
This isn't modern slang or physical slang. So Amy starts to bring him, the interviewer, starts to bring him back into the topic, which is modern day texting. But out of nowhere, he starts quizzing.
So first, something from the 70s, just to kind of loosen up those slang muscles.
Okay. All right,
so from the 70s, what does it mean if a teen from the 70s tells you something and then says, psych?
That means they're kidding.
They're kidding.
Yes.
You win. Okay.
All right. Yeah. What about
psych? That was tough.
I mean, again, he was brought on.
What a scam artist.
He was brought on as a modern day slang expert.
He just told us what psych meant.
And he's so excited. For those who visually need to know what he looks like, he looks a lot like Mike Myers.
Tell me how old again?
About 55.
Wow. Could it be Mike Myers in another one of his crazy
costumes?
Oh,
like Gong Show?
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. And again, supposed to be talking about modern day. This is from the 80s, proving that Slang Man truly is on the pulse.
If a teen says to you, from the 80s and even today, you're fat, have you been insulted or complimented?
Complimented.
You've been complimented, right. But if somebody from 20 and up says you're fat, that's not good.
It's not so good.
That's not so good.
No.
He's wrong.
He is wrong.
He's wrong because he even says, people that are 20 and up call you fat, that's bad. No, fat is from, like, Russell Simmons' Fat Farm and, like, LL Cool J. Like, that's a different era. Like, no one says fat, dude.
I love this guy now. No, I'm turning on him because he's the best.
Slang Man's the greatest.
Right.
Now, Amy, who's clearly wondering what went wrong with the pre-interview, starts pushing him towards modern slang, and it's just nuts.
Okay, what does it mean if your teen says, I'm going to put on my jams? Not my jammies. I'm going to put on my jams.
No, this
music.
Isn't real.
Music. Very good.
Not real.
I wonder if everybody else out there got that.
I hope they did.
Okay, now Amy's starting.
I hope everybody got that.
She's starting to turn. Because she's realizing this interview is very bad. Or she's being punked. Because
I would think so, too. I think it would be somebody punking me because he's so awful.
He's so also I love that he is on the pulse of things, but he was like, jams, not jammies. Like, jammies was for sure the thing that first came to mind for her. Okay. another example of modern, and I swear to God, I have done 20 to 30 minutes of research. This slang term does not exist.
If your teen says, Nancy is rashing me, does that mean A, call a dermatologist, B, wear gloves when giving Nancy a hug, or tell her to stop it?
I'm going to say, tell her to say, she's on you.
Yes. Why are you rashing me?
Yeah. Oh. I haven't heard that one.
No.
You're good.
Not a real term.
It doesn't exist.
I've looked it up on Urban Dictionary. I've looked everywhere. It's not, that's not a true thing.
Slang. So now he's making up words.
He's making up words.
All right.
She finally gets him over to texting, and he gives an example of what to watch out for, and I need you to listen closely.
Hmm. Is there anything bad that we need to really be looking out for? Like a slang that...
Yeah.
Could mean something bad that we need to be looking out for.
I would say in texting, yeah. LMIRK. Let's meet in real life.
Wait, what?
Play it again. Play it again.
That's not a K.
Play it again.
Wait.
Start it back. Yeah.
They want to keep us confused.
No, I think that's play a different. Okay. Yeah, play it again. I need you to hear it again.
All right, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Could mean something bad that we need to be looking out for.
I would say in texting, yeah. LMIRK. Let's meet in real life.
Real kife.
Slang Man.
He is rashing us, you guys.
He's completely rashing us. So I guess are we with Slang Man?
I'm way in on Slang Man.
All right.
Because he's the worst.
Let's leave with a quick final word he has about teens and his role in slang.
Yes.
They want to keep us confused.
I think they enjoy it.
Where I come in.
Billie Eilish on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Knowing what you know about those of us on this show, which one of us is most likely to be going to see Billie Eilish in concert on Saturday night?
I mean, I know it's you.
It happens
what?
To be. It happens to
is
be.
That's why you're asking? What?
Yeah. Yes.
Wait, you have tickets.
Well, ticket. I'm going by myself. But yeah.
Okay, but even still, let's wait and see if you go.
I'm going.
Yeah, look, sure.
I'm so excited about it. Right. I'm absolutely going. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is she playing in your front yard?
No, she's playing
kitchen?
In Vancouver, British Columbia, Allie. Thank you for asking.
Whoa, you're going on a trip.
I'm leaving the country to go see Billie Eilish.
Wow.
He's not all about being. He loves big crowds.
Yeah.
He loves them.
Are there different laws there for creepy guys seeing
Nothing creepy
girls?
About it, but okay. I will tell you that I'm super psyched that it is only a 3,000-seat venue.
Oh, wow.
That is
cool. That's pretty cool.
And when she's playing Los Angeles in July, she's playing the Greek. So I feel like I'm going to get a little more intimate experience than I might have.
And better than only you guys. I get to see you smaller.
Congrats to you, Slang Man. Creepy old dude listening to teens.
So I'll be hanging out with the kids.
They should start carding people who are old.
Yeah.
Sorry. Get out.
No olds allowed. Anyway, I don't often have an event coming up that I get to brag about. So that's what and all.
You going
to
buy merch, Bean?
I'll report back. If I like it, sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. Allie is here with another look at what's happening here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin to Bean Show. What's going on?
I mean, we've all been on Twitter long enough that when you see someone's name trending, you think the worst. You think, well, A, they're dead, or mm-hmm. B, they did something terrible.
Yeah, they're Me Too'd or something.
Yeah, there's no in between. So when I see Alex Trebek trending, I instantly get scared. But in what Alex Trebek calls, quote, kind of mind-boggling, the Jeopardy host says he's in near remission. 3 months.
Wow.
3 months after he announced his stage 4 pancreatic cancer diagnosis.
That doesn't happen. Yeah. Right? All the odds.
There's a 9% survival rate, and that's maybe for 5 years. But he said that the doctor said they haven't seen this kind of positive result in their memory. Some of the tumors have already shrunk by more than 50%.
Did he announce it with, what is remission?
He didn't, but I love it. Trebek says he still has several more rounds of chemotherapy to go, but he remains in really good spirits.
That's amazing.
That's incredible, you guys. Absolutely incredible.
Except for the contestant on last night's show who's going to track down Alex and probably murder him.
Sarah.
She was frightening.
You guys, does everyone watch that but me?
Well,
it's on a hot streak. Everyone's watching this little run.
I see.
But it did seem that every once in a while he gets a little...
He gets a little testy with people.
And this story...
She wound up saying, you know, the little chit-chat time, gets to know people.
He could not care less about
that. No, he couldn't.
He is so condescending.
He wants to say, dweeb, after all of them.
This woman said how she was named most powerful woman in high school. And then he goes, well, what does that mean? And she went straight psycho. She's like, it just means I'm powerful and I'm strong and la, la, la. And then she started talking about how she shares it with another guy in high school. So it's the two of them. And she goes, then, you know, who knows? Maybe one of us assassinates the other one.
What?
And Alex Trebek goes, not going to lie to you. You scare the hell out of me. I died laughing.
It was like the contestant was, it was like a, she was living a real life Game of Thrones.
It was,
like,
she was possessed.
There could only be one winner at the end of it. And it was going to be her.
There's never anything on television more cool story, bro, than that. Those few minutes.
Absolutely.
Yep. Love it. Yeah. I love it so much. But if you want to check that out, I put it on my stories.
I would like to check that out. Sure.
Jeopardy. Good stuff. By the way, in case you're wondering, James, he's doing, I think, game 30 tonight. He's already up to $2.2 million. So just has to beat Ken Jennings, $2.5 million.
And then he'll quit, and we can all stop hearing these updates?
Keeps going forever. Yep. And Alex, I think it's, quite frankly, what's keeping Alex Trebek alive.
Wow.
At a certain point, he just takes Alex's job.
He's got to be like, listen, I know the answers before you're even reading them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got the buzzer down. It's just great stuff.
He's going to have to work on his smiling a little bit. But,
man.
Also, his arms, everything's a little gone.
And his personality.
Well, that too.
Sure. His face also.
He's definitely loosening up. But still,
from where he started? Not far enough.
Yeah, still a bit robotic.
Yeah, I mean, he's James 2.0. I mean, he definitely has improved since he began, but he's nowhere near ready to be a full-size boy.
As soon as he smiles, I hear creaking.
Yeah.
Like, oil. He needs to be oiled.
He needs to be oiled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I often think, okay, he's doing it. He's not going to do the creepy, toothy smile. And he does every single time.
Uh-huh. He can't stop it.
Mm-mm. He can't stop it. Also can't stop, Cardi B just dropping $80,000 on diamond jewelry for her baby. Yeah. She posted a photo on Instagram with a mountain of diamond jewelry meant for her 10-month-old daughter, Culture.
Yeah, bitch!
Just spent a bag on my daughter. You know a bad bitch gonna spoil. Ha ha. And then she deleted a screenshot, which was a text exchange with the jeweler asking for $80,000 worth of jewelry. The photo includes 9 miniature diamond tennis bracelets in white gold, yellow gold, and rose gold, and a pair of large diamond stud earrings.
I mean, you don't know. Like, a 9-month-old doesn't know which one of those he or she's going to
Well, you're underestimating a 9-month-old.
Okay.
Sometimes you wake up and you're like, I want to wear rose gold, Mommy. No problem.
And how does she say that at 9 months?
I don't know, but
I'm just saying, a lot of kids aren't talking at that point, isn't it?
Well, you don't know Cardi B and old dudes.
Offset.
Old dude's daughter. She said, if I'm iced out, my daughter's got to be too. Yeah, I'm bragging because I bust my ass to do so. You know what, Cardi B? A lot of us bust our ass, and we are not buying mountains of diamonds for our 9-month-old child.
Nah, bitch.
Does seem odd.
Stop it.
The ones that look like sharks.
Oh, man. Some birthdays for you guys. We've got actors Annette Bening, Rupert Everett, Laverne Cox, comedian Daniel Tosh, Melanie Brown, Scary Spice of the Spice Girls, Oasis guitarist, and quite frankly, in his own right, a great guy.
Agreed.
Noel Gallagher. And probably one of the greatest humans to walk the face of the earth. Yeah, I said it. Happy birthday, Danny Elfman.
One of the most entertaining humans in the world. And I think you all will agree, our friend Bert the Machine Kreischer joining us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Do I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen.
The New York Times reports, oh, by the way, before I read this from this article, I know it's unlikely in our Slacker audience, but if you have ever climbed or attempted to climb Mount Everest, we would like to hear from you.
Absolutely.
We would like you to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Based on the photograph that was making the rounds this weekend, everyone has climbed Mount Everest.
Yeah. All
because
at once.
It looked like the doors in front of a Costco on a Saturday at 10 a.m. waiting for them to open.
It looked like an onion Photoshop from The Onion. You know what I mean? Like it looked fake.
There were 300 people all tethered together in line, just waiting one by one to advance a few inches at a time to get to the summit. I mean, didn't you used to think of it being rare and unusual and so difficult to climb Mount Everest?
Oh, I thought it was like one dude with a very long beard who's been walking for 6 years. Like, I did not think that it was a common, like, tourist spot.
Apparently it is. And by the way, one of the most shocking things that has come out of all this news about Mount Everest lately, 11 people have died already in the last month trying to climb Mount Everest, and for reasons you're not going to believe. But one of the most surprising things is that anyone can get a permit.
Yep.
It's not like you have to qualify for it. You don't have to walk in there and go, hey, I already climbed Mount Baker. Can I go in? You could just walk in off the street and they say, okay, here's your Sherpa.
That's a money thing. Yeah, you just pay it. And so rich people are going over there and they're not set to climb a mountain. And Darwinism.
Here's the article. Ed Doering, a doctor from Arizona, had dreamed his whole life of reaching the top of Mount Everest, but when he summited a few days ago, he was shocked by what he saw. Climbers were pushing and shoving to take selfies. The flat part of the summit, which he estimated about the size of two ping pong tables, the flat part of the summit, that's what you're climbing toward, was packed with 15 or 20 people. To get up there, he had to wait hours in line, chest to chest, one puffy jacket after the next, on an icy rocky ridge with a several thousand foot drop. He even had to step around the body of a woman who had just died.
Oh, good God.
There's dead bodies all over up there.
What?
All over the place.
I couldn't believe that.
Yep.
Reading that.
All over the place. And what they were doing was they were waiting for good weather, and it took a while. All of a sudden, there was good weather. So they said, we're all going.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a very, very short season of when you can climb Mount Everest. And you're absolutely right, Kevin. You wait. And a lot of times, you go up to the summit, where, by the way, congratulations, Mandy Moore arrived yesterday with her climbing party at the summit. But that only takes...
No, that's base camp.
Base camp. I'm so sorry. Yes,
okay.
Base camp. Yeah. Yeah. So Mandy Moore did that. And I think what that take her about 2 weeks or so. But then it's another 4 weeks, I think, after that to get to the summit. So it's quite a bit further
from
gondola? Base camp.
Right? I eat a gondola with cocoa.
It would be the way to go.
I would go up with one of those like people, whatever you call them, the like scooters.
Up the snow?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like, you mean like a snowmobile?
No.
No, he literally means one of those ones you stand on. Those don't go on the snow.
Oh, dang it.
So I mean,
it's a good plan. It's a solid plan.
Right. Yeah.
Again, if you've ever attempted to ever...
Stop saying that. No one's going to call.
We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe Bert Kreischer has climbed Mount Everest. You don't know, man. The reason so many people have died is because of this traffic jam. Do I understand correctly, Allie? Because they're just standing in line, using up their oxygen, being exposed to the elements, and you die in line waiting to go that final few hundred feet.
Yeah. 11 people have died this spring.
Doesn't seem ideal.
No. No, but when you're like chest to chest with people and you're like... about to run out of oxygen.
Yeah.
I'm about to die. And you die because you wanted to take a selfie on top of a freaking ridge. What?
Photoshop yourself. It's much safer.
Right? It's insanity.
One of the obituaries they did this weekend of an American who died, I think the doctor he was in Colorado, was he was like 36 years old or something. He's like 36, and his family put out a statement. They said, well, the last sunrise he ever saw was on the tallest mountain in the world, so he died doing what he loved. No, you're 36 years old, and you have a wife and children.
Dude, he did it for the gram. You know,
He did get a hell of a gram.
Yeah.
I think the worst part, though, are the people that are dying on their way back down. It's like, I did it. Now I just got to get home. Oh,
Into Thin Air is the only book I've ever read completely, uh-huh. and it's about people going to Everest. And they at one point thought they were going to die, so they said to a guy who couldn't move any longer, "Dude, really sorry, we have to leave you here to die. Otherwise, we'll all die." And they left and went back to camp.
Wow!
And the next morning, he came walking up to camp.
What's up, guys?
Can you imagine? They're all like, "Hi, hey, we left you to die."
It's a little bit awkward.
That's our bad.
By the way, I saw an article yesterday, because Everest has been so much in the news, about this woman, I think in Oregon, who managed to do it not in 2 months, but in 2 weeks. And here's why. Because she trained for 3 years, keeping herself most of the hours of the day in a low-oxygen environment.
Wow.
To get used to it. So she would work. She built, like, basically a tent around her office desk and turned the oxygen down. When people would come in to have meetings with her, they usually would have to leave after, like, 10 minutes because they couldn't breathe anymore.
She'd go, "All right, done with that meeting."
Yeah. So this is how she was getting herself used to it, because she thought it would be so much safer and obviously faster to be able to go and do it in 2 weeks rather than in 2 months.
Well, Mandy Moore got to base camp in a little over a week.
Speaking of which, we have somebody on the phone that actually made it to base camp as well.
Excellent.
Oh, that might be an interesting conversation. Who is it?
It is Rich in Newport Beach. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
So you did make it to base camp?
Base camp, weather didn't permit us to go to summit, and it was going to take way too long, I guess, based on, weather forecast. So, yeah, we were just at base camp.
What's it like to be at base camp and be told that you can't get to the summit and then have to make that decision? You know what? I'm just going to have to go back down.
And you flew all the way to Nepal to do it.
Well, I mean, it sucks, but then after, like, a week of that amount of cold, and you can't really do much because you're in the tent trying to stay warm and not die. So you're kind of okay with it. I mean, it does suck not being able to summit, but it's the cold and all the other variables. It's just you kind of get over it.
Rich, did you see any dead bodies that you had to jump over?
I did. I did see saw one body, and it freaked me out. I thought I was prepared to see a dead body, but even if it's frozen, it's still weird.
I thought I was prepared.
Right? And he had practiced.
And at base camp, I mean, there are hundreds of people up there in tents, right? It looks like Coachella.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's tons of people. And then that picture, it's true to how it really looks up there. It's tons and tons of people. Everybody's stepping over each other to get through, and it just, like, that's why it made it a little easier to make the decision of just going home, because it's not worth dying, honestly.
Totally. Hey, just one last question, Richard. We're so appreciative that you called. What is this cold temperature? How cold is it at base camp when you're waiting it out to try to climb the mountain?
49, Bean. It's 49 degrees. Can you imagine?
It's colder than your freezer, man. It just sucks. It's bone chilling. It's to the point where if you were to take off your jacket for a certain amount of time, I think it was a few minutes, you'd freeze. So basically, you always have to.
You don't have a number? That's how we communicate temperature.
It's colder than your freezer, Kevin. That's all you need to know, man.
You can take your
jacket off. It's going to be bad for you in like 2 to whatever minutes.
It was like
150,
200 below.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. You know what? Yeah. I was thinking about climbing Everest. You've just changed my mind.
I think I'm out.
I was in until then. Lumineers fan number one, you guys.
Yeah.
Comedian, actor, writer, the machine himself, Bert Kreischer, in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBoo Show.
I belong to you. You belong to me.
See?
I don't know the rest.
I knew you were out right there.
That's a kind of drinking late night song where you get back from the store and you're in your man cave and you hear it and you're like, "Dude, I miss my friends from college. I'm going to see what they're up to." Bro, you're in jail for weed? What's up?
Did you tell our producer Dave while you were in the green room before you came in that you think you could climb Mount Everest?
Bro, definitely confident I could climb Mount Everest.
Okay, what? But you were joking or honestly think so?
I could definitely climb Mount Everest.
You could.
You're talking to the man that ran the LA Marathon with no training, drinking the night before in 5 hours and 33 minutes. I can climb Mount Everest. I can do whatever Mandy Moore does 10 times better.
You know what? I believe it. Dude, I really do.
All it takes is 1 foot in front of the other foot. A little acclimation. You get into that little deprivation tank they got over at Crunch on Santa Monica. You should see Dave Navarro in it all the time. Get in there, do the elliptical in there. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay.
Easy peasy.
Done. Easy peasy, you guys.
It is. It is well known that any person can train to climb Mount Everest in about 7 to 10 days. It's well known.
100%, dude. Look at it, look at all the traffic jams. How many people have died? The fact that people are dying means I'm definitely within the skill set to get it.
Because they're dying, you go, I could die,
bro. Those are like 56-year-old women. They're just like going through a divorce. The Latino guy didn't do it for them, and they're like, you know, I need something else. I got to prove to him I'm better. I need something for my Instagram, dude. I'm telling you, I could definitely climb. I could easily get base camp. Oh, bro, I could get base camp in a day. I don't even need to acclimate for. I can throw the best base camp party. That's my goal. I want to throw base camp parties. So when people are coming down, they're like, that was insane. I'm like, good. Have a margarita.
How about this right here?
You heard about the part where it's 150 degrees below zero, right, Bert?
Dude, anything below 32, same, same.
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Here's the thing about that. 100%. No.
You can't.
30 and 150 below.
I don't think it's same, same.
A bit it's different.
Same, same.
No, okay.
Have you ever been in negative, like, 20 degrees?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, easy peasy.
No, okay. No, not easy peasy.
It's the opposite of easy peasy.
It's all it is layering. That's all you got to do, layer.
Okay.
Layer. Some great tips,
dude,
this morning.
By the way, this is how my brain convinces me to do everything.
Yeah. Yes.
And you guys are society telling me I can't do it.
Sure. Just,
right.
All you got to do is layer, man. Two pairs of socks.
And then that makes you want to do it more, I assume. Two pairs of socks.
Same, same.
Good, you get some good gloves, like some North Face gloves.
Sure.
Okay, you've thought this through now, dude, I see.
This is me. Yeah, you got, okay. Nice player under like a base layer.
You're just making all this up, dude. Yeah.
Like thermal underwear.
You're not gonna do it.
What you got to really worry about?
Real, says a guy who hasn't ever done it.
A real Bear Grylls over here.
Oh yeah, you sound good. Yeah,
like you're ready.
You're packing up a lot.
That's pretty strong.
Dude, get on that plane in Nepal.
As long as you have money to hire like four Sherpas to carry you up, you're good.
I will be riding deep like MC Hammer with Sherpas. I will have so many Sherpas. They're like, bro, you only need two. I'm like, I got 12.
I need them to get the line out of the way, knock people over.
Like Jesus carried the cross. They're carrying me like the crucifix up to the top of Mount Saint Helens.
It's pretty much the same thing, yeah.
Dude, Bert, that thing in you that makes you fight back on whatever they... What's the dumbest thing you've ever done?
Oh, just my God.
How much time do we have? Just because people said you couldn't or wouldn't do it and you had to prove them wrong.
Easily was the marathon. Oh, my God. That was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. I really messed my body up.
Who prompted you to do that? How did you get shamed into that?
It wasn't shamed. It was Rogan, Ari, and Tommy.
Bean, I assume it doesn't take much. Just somebody goes, hey, marathon.
Yeah, I can do that. You just got a layer.
All you have to do is tell me I can't do something, and immediately I'm like,
and they offered a bunch of reasons why there's no way you could ever do a marathon because you weren't a runner, right?
Right. They were like, you run on treadmills. That's not real running. They're like, you're not in shape. You cannot do it. These marathons are for elite athletes. And I was like, first of all, I've been around enough people that say they did marathons. I was like, I got this easy. They're like, you definitely can't do it faster than Ari's dad. Ari's dad was in the Holocaust. Like he's like,
that makes him a good runner.
I thought for a minute he wasn't going to be good, but you said he was in the Holocaust, and I'm like, oh, he definitely ran away from people.
No. I didn't mean that like that. I meant age wise. Like he's that old.
Oh, he's that old. Okay.
Comment. That was a horrible way to reference.
It was a weird reference. Yeah.
This guy was alive when they only had two water fountains. Jesus, what is wrong with me?
A lot.
Yeah.
Did you practice for the marathon?
My daughters are older than the Me Too movement. Keep going.
Did you practice for the marathon? Did you run? Nothing. Nothing?
No.
Nothing.
Dude, I was so... You can find this video. I am at the starting line bragging that I didn't practice. Like going, I didn't train at all. And people are like, dude, there's no way... I've trained for 7 months. I'm in a running group. And I was like, yeah. And you also look like you. This is the biggest thing you'll ever do in your life. In my head, I was like, dude, I got this.
This is just one day in Bert Kreischer's life. Now, did your shoes fall apart because they were wrong? Did your nipples bleed?
Nope. I lubed up.
Did you poop yourself?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes. That's the Bert we know.
On San Vicente.
I don't know why I'm cheering that.
No,
but that was just driving down to the starting line, Kevin.
yeah. Oh, dude. Dude, that's the hardest part of beginning a marathon is like, is poop
parking?
Management.
Oh, poop management.
Because you're just going like, I need to get everything out before this starts.
Sure.
Because you watch the marathon start, and then running down the street, people just literally in the first mile pull off to go to the bathroom.
First mile,
right by Dodger Stadium, people were pulling off to go to the bathroom. I was like, rookie move. I've never even done one of these, and I know this is a bad idea.
Dude, what was your time?
5 hours and 33 minutes.
That's exceptional.
That's really good.
No, it's exceptional.
Considering Oprah did it in 5 hours, not really.
Oprah probably trained a day or two.
She definitely trained. Yeah. When I was on Sepulveda. I was running on Sepulveda. That's like at mile 20. I don't even like driving down Sepulveda. I'm running down Sepulveda, and that's when the only time when I went, this is your body just goes, I can't do it. My calves seized up and my quad seized up.
Both legs.
And I went, whoa. Like, immediately, and I looked around, people were falling off like the walking dead, like just on the ground, stretching out, and the woman in front of me, I've been jogging behind her, was like a grown-up, like an executive.
Okay.
And she messed herself, and I watched it happen, and I was like, oh, this is like, you know what it reminded me? I watched my dad cry one time. And I felt like as soon as he cried, I go, there's no God. There's no safety in this. We don't get out of this alive. This is going to be bad.
And did you find the strength to keep going when your legs failed you?
There's a kid out there. I hope that I hope he hears this. He is probably like cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his dad, is just like this regular. They had the cart, but they didn't use it. The kid ran the damn thing.
No!
And he beat me. And the dad was just like, dude, I'm talking like regular Dodgers Mexican guy. Like, not like a...
So, you know, a Los Angeles, you know.
Like, yeah, like a, Los yeah. Like a regular guy you see at a Dodgers game eating a hot dog, not in great shape. And his dad was running with him. And I kept running pace with this guy. And this guy was, like, so inspiring that I was like, dude, And also, you're like, your ego goes, I can't get beat by that guy.
Right. But you tripped him at the end, though, right before you.
And an Asian kid, you know who else beat me? An Asian kid dressed as Big Bird carrying a tuba. And I've always said I could beat any Asian in a foot race. And this kid destroyed.
With a tuba.
With a tuba. Yeah, I got beat by a lot of ham and eggs.
Bert, you are amazing. Bert Kreischer is here. By the way, you have a chance to see him in Las Vegas this weekend.
If the Mirage.
At the Mirage on Saturday night. Then he's off to Australia. But he is back in Southern California with a second show just added at the theater at the Ace Hotel. The first one sold out at 7 p.m. on Friday, September the 13th. But tickets are now available for a new show. Just announced 9:30 p.m. September 13th. You want to get those tickets at AXS.com. Quick break with Bert, and we'll be right back on K-Rock. AXS.com or BertBertBert.com to get your tickets for the new show just added at the Ace Hotel Theater there, 9:30 p.m. on Friday, September 13th. Get your tickets to see the great Bert Kreischer. Bert, last night you were at the Comedy Store.
Yes.
With everyone in comedy, right? Mark Maron was there. Chelsea Peretti was there. Joey Diaz was there. David Spade, Sarah Tiana, Ron White, Brad Williams, Ian Edwards, and it goes on and on and on. How does that happen? And do you guys each get like 45 seconds on stage when you got that many people standing around?
No. We each do 15 minutes and bring each other up tag team style. I got to be honest with you. I look at some of those shows and I go, that's like a $20,000 ticket.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, and I'm blessed to be on there at all. Like, I look at that and I'm like, as a fan of comic, I'm like, oh my God. I followed Joey last night and he was destructive. I mean, just Joey Diaz, there might be no funnier human being.
He is like your favorite comedian's comedian.
Dude. Yeah.
Did you go to another comedian and go, what, you want to go up next?
No. You want to follow Joey.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know. It's like if you fail after Joey, everyone's like, well, yeah, you had to follow Joey.
Oh, so you get a pass. Nice. I got you.
But if you fail after Brad Williams, I mean, come on, guys. I was drinking with Brad last night, watching him hop from stool to stool. Did you ever see him fall out of the stool on my cooking show?
No, I didn't.
It's
see
the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Brad Williams, hammered, is in a stool and just reaches for something and falls 3 feet onto the ground. It is the funniest thing.
Was that the time he was on with Adam Ray? You guys.
Oh yeah. All right. I got to tell you this Joey Diaz story. This is my favorite. Okay. This is my favorite story about Joey. And I have a lot of great Joey Diaz stories. Mm-hmm. Joey Diaz one Easter morning slipped my dad edible marijuana. That's not the story I'm about
nice.
To tell you.
Okay.
That's not as good
as the one you're going to tell.
It's just the way Joey delivers lines can kill you sometimes. So my dad is flying from L.A. to Tampa to L.A. and he texts me and he says, "Pick me up at the airport. By the way, Joey Diaz is on my flight." And I go, "Listen, don't eat whatever he gives you." So my dad lands in LAX, and I see him coming down the escalator for Delta, and he's just shaking his head. And I go, what's the matter? And he goes, oh, I tried to switch seats. The idiot's sitting next to me, so I could sit next to Joey, and he wouldn't switch. He goes, oh, what an idiot. Bert, this guy just played Candy Crush for the entire flight. And I went, really? And he goes, my dad doesn't respect that. He goes, he didn't open a magazine, didn't open a newspaper. This is a grown man sitting in first class, and he played Candy Crush. What kind of a grown man plays Candy Crush for an entire flight? Doesn't read a magazine. Doesn't look at the... Doesn't just really... And I see Joey coming down the escalator, and he is laughing ear to ear. And I go, Joey, what's up? And he goes, dog, your dad was sitting next to John Cena. Two people behind Joey Diaz is John Cena playing Candy Crush. I swear to God.
That's
the
awesome.
Whole flight. The whole flight. And my dad doesn't know who John Cena is. But you know, Joey was looking at him going, he's sitting next to John Cena. Hey, what's a big owl rolling his eyes at John Cena for?
That's amazing.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I love it.
Joey's the best.
Amazing. As much as you fly, do you ever sit next to famous people, Bert?
Dude, I sat next to this guy one time, and he goes, so what do you do? I said, I'm a comedian, and he's like, oh, cool. And so we talked the whole thing, and I'm just bragging about me being an amazing comedian. And so we get to land, and I said, what do you do at the very end of the flight? Like, I've talked to him the whole thing about me. I said, what do you do? He goes, well, I actually write comedy, too. And I was like, oh, cool. I said, you got to check out one of my videos. He goes, I'd love to. I said, here, give me your phone. So I pull it up. And I go, this is my most famous story. It was a while ago. This is when it was animated. It was the machine story, but it was animated. They made it look like South Park. It made it look like South Park animated.
Awesome.
And he was like, oh, wow, this looks like South Park. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I lied. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I think those guys are big fans.
Oh, no.
I know I lied because I know that it's just some guy online that just copied their animation.
Right. Right, exactly.
And the guy goes, are you a fan of South Park? I said, oh, yeah. And he was like, cool, thanks. And I went, huh? I had been sitting next to one of the South Park guys the whole time.
Oh. Matt Stone or Trey Parker?
I have no idea. I don't know which one's
that's
which.
Awesome. Oh, no.
The guy with the curly hair.
That's awesome.
I didn't even know who I was sitting next to.
No.
And I'm giving him my video. Dude, I am an idiot. And I geek out. If I see a celebrity, I can't help it. I ran into Tom Cruise one time. We were at a premiere for Magnolia. Remember Magnolia had the...
Oh, yeah.
His hair was like long. Yeah, and I'm telling a story, and everyone's excited, and I'm backing up a little bit, and I bump into someone. I turn around, and it's Tom Cruise. And his hair is still like it was in Magnolia. And I just got caught off guard, and I looked at him, I go, you have beautiful hair. And he just looks at me, he goes, thanks, and walked away. Dude, I am horrible. And it doesn't even need to be like a big celebrity. I don't know, what's the Dakota Fanning?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Was at one of my shows one time? I don't even know who she is. I don't even know what movie she's been in.
She's 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
She's in
no, that's Dakota Johnson.
That's Dakota Johnson.
Oh, sorry. Dakota Fanning. Sorry.
Fanning was a child actress who's grown up and in a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
The second I found out it was her, I didn't even know who she was. She was like, hey, great show. I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm married. I have no interest in talking to a woman after a show. She kept me to the bar, drank me blackout drunk, put me in an Uber. And then someone's like, I can't believe Dakota Fanning was at your show. Immediately, I lose all composure. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm such a huge fan. I loved you in the thing that you did when you were a baby. Let me get us a private room and we'll all hang out. And then I go to get us a private room at the Improv. And she's gone. And I was like, where did Dakota Fanning go? I hate that about myself. Dude, my daughter's won the softball championship. And the kid that hit the home run, I'm like waiting outside the dugout like a fan to be like, Nicole, great hit. Great hit, Nicole.
What's wrong with you?
Dude, I have no idea. That's why I do meet and greets, because I know what it's like to want to say hi to a celebrity.
Right.
I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, Nicole, who's your
number one dream celebrity to meet?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Where do we start?
There has to be one, though.
Okay.
Jensen, who's yours to get us started? There has to be somebody that you adore in your rap world or somewhere, right?
I would be very excited... It's a good question. I would be very excited to meet like a Martin Scorsese or like a Spielberg, like someone whose movies I've watched forever.
I want to eat soup with Mel Brooks.
That's a good one.
Jesus, you guys are boring.
I like it. She came with soup, though. Yeah, that's quite a plan.
Yeah.
What would be yours?
Okay, well, I have two. I have one that I run into and they fall off the wagon with me. That's Ben Affleck.
And great.
I like that story
ends in disaster for both of you.
Like life-changing.
It ends with him sprinting out of the front door of my house at 3 a.m. going, your wife's awake, start the car!
You want to ruin Batman, all right?
Dude, I love Ben Affleck, but I want, like, I mean, and I, look, I'm happy for sobriety, but like, I would love to party with that guy. But hardcore, one celebrity that could have come up to me and go, dude, big fan, mm-hmm. we should get together, hang out, have a beer? Without a doubt, Brad Pitt. Without a doubt.
Is that
doubt.
Right?
Oh, my God. And in kind of in a gay way.
Because like, doppelganger.
Oh, yeah. Same, sure. same. Yeah.
By the way, you picked Twin. Two Hollywood hunks.
Yeah.
Go back to the kind of in a gay way.
Whoa, yeah. Wait, what did I pick?
Yeah. Go back to the kind of in a gay way.
Yeah. There are men in Hollywood where if they, I'm not saying like tried to kiss you, but if they got you into some gay stuff, you just wouldn't say no. Like if The Rock pulled up in on a motorcycle, right? Mm-hmm. Flipped his helmet up and was like, hey, man, come over to my house. We're going swimming later. You'd be like, okay. And then you just get there. It's you and The Rock going swimming in the pool. And you're like, yeah. Wait, what is this? He's like, we're going to play Marco Polo. Close your eyes. And you're like,
This is very specific.
Yeah.
That's quite a story. Bert's given it a lot of thought.
He's like, oh, no, Bert's lived it is what happened.
The Rock could get you to do stuff you would never do. Never do. He's like, bro, me and you, we're going hard in the gym. I'd be like, okay. Cool, I guess we're doing squats. I've never wanted to do these in my entire life. I'll be wearing a chain around my neck for the next week. Dude, the Rock's
why is there
one.
Why is there not a camera on you full time? Like, oh, one of those bald eagle cams. Seriously, we should be allowed to watch you all the time.
Dude, I'll tell you right now. Give me full access to every celebrity. Like, give me, like, the Tonight Show, but I wouldn't do it like the Tonight Show. I'd just travel out to wherever they were and just hang out with them for
just
a day.
Hang out.
Celebrity sleepover. That's what it's called. I go to your house and I spend the night, and I just wake up, and we just do whatever you do. Oh, Keanu Reeves? Who doesn't want to be on the back of his motorcycle holding on tight? Just going down the 405 at 4 in the morning, and Keanu going, let me tell you the original idea for The Matrix. And you're like, shut up. Do you really get money to sick children? He's like, of course I do.
By the way.
This is going to be the greatest summer ever, Bert. And you're like, I love you, Keanu.
He picked another Hollywood hunk.
And once again, Hollywood hunk.
I mean, you've got Bert, a type. It's okay.
There's a lot of guys I get a text from in the middle of the night, and I get up and I go. Justin Bieber, let's go to church tomorrow. I'm in.
All right. We are unfortunately out of time. Bert is bringing his Body Shots World Tour to the theater at the Ace Hotel on September 13th. Yes, you will never have a better time at a show than at Bert Kreischer. Buy those tickets now. Again, September 13th. Allie, do we have time for 60 seconds?
Sure.
Bert is here. Allie's going to fire 60 seconds worth of questions at you. First thing that comes to your mind, please. Here it is.
Oh, wow.
60 seconds with Bert Kreischer.
How long was the worst hangover you've ever had?
2 days.
Any hangover cures?
Xanax.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes, it is entirely.
Do you have a favorite kid?
Yeah.
Which one?
I knew it.
My friend's son, Carter. Okay.
Do you think it's weird that Tarzan has no beard?
Yeah, I never thought about that. But, you know, maybe he's part Asian.
Okay. Did you have a nickname growing up?
Mm-hmm. Nature Boy and Birdie Boy and Bebopper.
Bebopper.
I have a lot of nicknames.
Yeah, you do. Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Open mouth, yes.
Would you rather stop, drop, shut him down, or open up shop?
Shut him down.
Okay. What was your first job?
Being a runner for my dad's law firm. Ooh, white privilege.
If you could choose, how would you die?
Oh, in the tank at SeaWorld.
I'm not sure how that would work exactly.
Just leave a scar for everyone. I don't see anything at the end of the tunnel. I'm tasting my own blood. There's nothing waiting for us at the end of this tunnel.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Tell you what, if I were a comedian, I'd never want to follow Bert Kreischer. Agreed. I know that much. Hey, New Coke is back, you guys. Thanks
Woo-hoo!
To Stranger Things. Allie did that story last week. We're going to talk about the products that you miss, stuff that you used to be able to buy you can't get anymore. What would it be if you could bring anything back? We'll take your calls coming up after the top of the hour. First, Allie's got what's happening here on Wednesday.
Well, this was big news yesterday, and strangely, a lot of people upset by it. Mackenzie Bezos, whose recent divorce from Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, which netted her about $35 billion, has pledged to donate half of her fortune to charity. She was one of 19 people on Tuesday to sign the Giving Pledge campaign. It was started by Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. They launched it in 2010. She said, I have a disproportionate amount of money to share. My approach to philanthropy will continue to be thoughtful. It will take time and effort and care, but I won't wait. And I will keep at it until the safe is empty. So she becomes one of 204 people from 23 countries who have signed the pledge to give away half of their wealth during their lives or at their time of death in a will. Mm-hmm. And there were people online that were like, oh, like she even needs any more than half of that. Like,
they're saying that she should get more?
Yes,
they were
can mad? We just let this woman, by the way, her husband, Jeff, hadn't signed the pledge. Can we maybe just give her a minute and just be like, hey, thanks,
I wonder what the big difference between her and Jeff is. You know what I mean? Like, why people would be more mad at her than
yeah, I don't,
than
I
him.
Don't know.
I wonder, think of a reason.
Two
rich people. So we live in a world now, Allie, if I understand internet trolling,
yeah,
where a woman has announced she's given away almost $20 billion to charity,
yes,
and people are dissing her for it.
Yeah. It's
and if
it's
you don't know what dissing
insane
means, you need to go to the slang man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all rashing her. It seems like we're rashing her.
This is crazy.
People
this is crazy.
Are nuts, you guys.
Yep.
Chris Kattan raising quite the accusation against his former Saturday Night Live boss, Lorne Michaels. He's opened up in his new memoir, "Baby Don't Hurt Me: Stories and Scars from Saturday Night Live."
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
There it is. You will have a whole new thought on that song when the story's done.
He accuses Lorne of pressuring him to have sex with A Night at the Roxbury's then-director, Amy Heckerling, to try and keep her attached to the project. So I guess one night...
How does he know he's good at it?
Well, one night prior to the movie's filming, she allegedly asked him to have sex, and he was shocked. Was she joking? He tried to keep it light, blah, blah, blah. Lorne called him the next day and said Paramount would only do the movie if Amy signed on as a director, not a producer. So if he wanted to make the movie happen, we got to keep Amy happy, sort of thing.
I'm so sick of us men ending up on a casting couch just to get a role in Hollywood. Look, we're actors, okay? We're there for the craft. We're not there for cheap physical sex.
Well, by the
way,
we're
not just a piece of meat.
He had the role. He just wanted her as the director.
Right. That's what we meant.
But Lorne Michaels reportedly said, Chris, I'm not asking you to effer, but it wouldn't hurt. So Chris Kattan's like, I don't want the story to be like my career tanked because I wouldn't do this. So went ahead and did it.
To this song?
Most likely.
And was Will Ferrell in the room at the time doing the head motions?
Well, to this day, whenever I think about that conversation with Lorne, I feel repellingly pathetic. I think you should feel maybe worse because John Fortenberry ultimately stepped in as director. Like, how bad was it?
Maybe he wasn't that good.
Amy Heckerling's like, I'm out. I don't like that.
By the way, this is a Chris Kattan book, and I wasn't expecting any kind of revelations that would be interesting, is also the one where he reveals that he was physically crippled from SNL, and that's why his career never recovered from leaving that show, is because he literally could barely move.
Oh, Mango.
It's kind of weird, because I read the excerpt yesterday, and I realized if this was the other way around, if this was, say, Tina Fey or, you know, any female actress from SNL, it would be like...
Oh, huge news everywhere.
Front page story.
Yeah, front page story. Yeah. So it was very odd to... I was surprised to wake up and not see it really on a ton of radars.
Yeah.
But, I mean, being basically forced to have sex with someone because of work...
And then doing it poorly enough that she quits?
Well, but to be afraid of losing your job and your future because your boss is telling you to bone someone?
Yeah.
No, it goes both ways, but you're right. If this was a woman, this would be splashed on every headline.
I thought almost Weinstein-esque.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's not a story.
Yeah.
This is a very minor footnote to this story, but I sat next to Chris Kattan on a plane one time and taught him how to, helped him set up his Twitter account and taught him how to tweet.
Oh.
Because he'd never, he'd heard of it, but he didn't know what it was. And it is covered in the book.
That whole flight is covered in the
book.
Oh,
good.
It's riveting. It's riveting.
Yeah. 6 hours we had to do this, and he just kept telling me to hit tweet.
He was a very nice man. We had a very, very pleasant conversation.
Maybe attach a picture.
Love you on SNL. I did. I thought it would be. I thought one chapter was enough, to be honest, about the flight.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about the latest dating term. I don't know if Slangman is up on this yet, but I'm sure he is. You know, but it's the latest dating term.
All right.
It's a good one, you guys. But first, some birthdays. Danny Elfman, Noel Gallagher, Rupert Everett, Annette Bening, Melanie Brown, Scary Spice of the Spice Girls, Laverne Cox, and Daniel Tosh. And
Kevin, I've been jonesing to see 311, but I know that it's not possible.
I know, me
not
too.
Playing anywhere,
right? That'd be great.
And I was hoping there might be some new information.
Same. There
that
is
you
it.
Had for me about where they. And I'd like to see them ideally, like at a beach. That's
same
in Mexico.
If I would like that too.
Out a way to work that out. 311, you guys, since Kevin won't play along, is one of the great bands at the K-Rock Weedy Rose Luau at Beach Party, which is a week from Saturday at Doheny State Beach. Tickets are on sale now, frontgatetickets.com, and you can also win them less than 1 hour from right now on K-Rock and every hour at the top of the hour all day long. Go to K-Rock.com for more details and a chance to win VIP passes and a hotel stay as well.
And Limp Bizkit might play.
Well,
do we know?
For Weenie is what we've been begging
we're
for.
Putting
I'm just putting
just
it out there. It's okay. A secret, Oprah's secret.
I think I can say we have another meeting with Mr. Weatherby today to explain for the 1,000th time why it's a great idea and why he's blind for not seeing it.
We have forced a meeting at the last minute.
We have forced a meeting. So we will let you know if we get any better reaction this time around than to the last 25 times we pitched.
I don't know why you expect it to be different, Dean.
I'm not giving up because it's such a great idea, and we have a chance to accomplish something awesome.
But you know this secret
right.
gives you everything you want.
That's what
happiness,
I heard.
Health, and wealth. This is like having the universe as your catalog, and you flip through it, and you go,
and
well,
we
I'd
pick
like to have this
biscuit.
Experience, and I'd like to have that product, and I'd like to have a person like that.
Uh-huh.
It is you just placing your order with the universe.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I have ordered some Nookie.
Put it out there in the radio universe. All right, let's turn our attention to New Coke. We mentioned a little while ago, and Allie brought it up a few days ago, that New Coke, one of the greatest disasters in product marketing history, from April of 1985, Coca-Cola decided to change their recipe after 99 years because they were losing in taste tests to Pepsi. And they said, well, we got to make our product a little more like Pepsi, sweeten it up a little bit. It was, by now, most people know, an unmitigated disaster. They abandoned it after just a few weeks, and I'm sure people got fired. Well, you never in a million years would have expected that New Coke, this product that nobody wanted, would come back with great fanfare this summer, but it's happening as a tie-in to the Netflix series Stranger Things. And that got us to thinking, first of all, will you guys buy New Coke to try it?
Nah.
No.
I tried it when it came out. It's fine. I don't hate it, but
I just think it's insane.
Don't care.
A ton of people must have lost their jobs over New Coke. It's considered one of the biggest failures in retail marketing history.
I mean, one of the most successful and beloved products in the world took a huge hit as a result of it.
It was like the joke you made for a long time. Like, oh, like New Coke? Like something failed. And it must be so nerve-wracking for the people that lost their jobs and probably changed their entire life to now watch it come back and people wait in line.
We're all excited.
I can't think of something more irritating for those people.
So we started thinking about lots of us have products that we used to love, that we used to buy, and now we can't get it anymore because they just don't make it. That's the topic on the table today at 1-800-520-1067. What do you wish they would bring back? And I think we've got a few suggestions here in the room. Allie, well, let's start with you.
I've mentioned this before on the air. There was a shampoo in the 90s by Revlon called Outrageous that smelled so good. The shampoo and conditioner, like someone would walk by you and you're like, whoa, that is excellent. Cindy Crawford was in all the commercials.
Okay.
It was amazing. It went away. People will tweet and go, no, I see it on Amazon. It's not the same. They changed everything about it. So it hasn't been around forever. So I would like that back.
Why do you suppose it went away if it was so good?
I don't know. Maybe people just didn't buy it as much as me and all my friends.
Okay.
However, what I really, really want back, and I think about this almost daily.
Almost daily?
Wow. Do you remember Altoid Sours?
No.
Oh, my gosh. A tangerine apple. It was in the little Altoid tin, but they were sour, and they had little, like, sugar all over. Oh, my God. Tangerine Altoid Sours.
I never deviate from the Altoid cinnamon. That's my jam.
It's a great, because it's a great product.
Yeah,
well,
cinnamon is great.
I looked it up.
I'd like to try them all.
And they were on eBay for, here's one, Altoid Sours, 8 sealed tins. $1,500. Truly rare.
Where is the outrage?
Truly rare Altoid Sours Passion Fruit. $10,000 on eBay.
It's a good deal.
I mean, you guys, I just want my Altoid tangerines.
Well, spend the money then.
Okay. All right. Jensen, what you got?
I've talked about it a little bit before on the show, Whippersnapples. I can't believe they ever existed, but it was like a smoothie made by Snapple.
Nope.
It was very good.
My friend sound Chris, real?
Yeah, my friend Chris's mom had them in the fridge one day. We drank them, and then we found out we could never get them again, which is quite a sad thing. I also think Squeeze-Its. Do you remember Squeeze-Its?
Oh, in the tube.
Yeah, they were in a plastic kind of feeling
like an
bottle.
Otter Pop type
yes,
of thing.
Except
yeah.
the juice.
Yes.
Those I'd like back.
Okay.
And then lastly, I'd like Gatorade gum back.
Gatorade gum.
It would tingle back here.
I remember Gatorade gum.
Gatorade gum was great. It tasted.
It was great.
It was great. Tasted a little bit like Gatorade, but also just a refreshing gum.
Yeah, but then it would go away within like 30 seconds.
You know what? You're speaking the truth.
Yes.
Very fast life, but worth it.
So worth it.
Yeah, they were discontinued in the 2000s, and they should come back.
I loved it.
Those are my three.
Kick of Mexico.
I like to see.
Did he say he had one and we had audio for it in the whole deal?
He's not in here.
He did say those things.
Yeah, I think he'll tell you.
Okay. It's not exactly what we wanted. Yes, Dave.
Oh, Jack in the Box mini sirloin burgers. How many days a week did we go get those?
Those were pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Those are pretty good.
They don't
good.
Come back like the McRib?
Nope.
Does the McRib fall into this category?
No,
because I'd like
back.
To force them to serve it year-round.
Okay, 24-7.
Or don't serve it at all.
No, I'm saying 24-7.
Okay.
I'm saying pick a side. I don't want to hear every 4 months that it's back. All right, I've got two, and then we'll go to the calls, too. First of all, the Microsoft Zune, you guys, because there's no way to get your music on a small device that you can carry in your pocket. Ever since they discontinued the Zune, I'm like, what the hell? It was a great idea, carrying things around on an MP3.
You know what? We should talk after news the show. For you. Yeah.
Okay, because I just feel like that was a misstep to let that technology die. And the other one, obviously, is Trump Steaks. Okay, let's go to your calls. At 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Becky and Tustin because she's on line four. And I know there are going to be a lot of people with beverages because a lot of drinks come and go. I can honestly say I've never heard of what Becky's talking about.
Hey, Becky.
Hi.
What would you like to see come back?
I would love it if I could get another can of 7-Up Gold.
7-Up Gold.
7-Up Gold.
Never
what
heard
the
of
hell
it.
Was no. that?
It was a. It was basically just soda, but it was 7-Up brand. And
it was basically just soda.
That probably was a great commercial.
I mean, it's just soda. I can't believe 7-Up didn't keep going with that. How did it taste different from regular 7-Up, which is kind of great on its own?
Well, as a young child, when I would drink it, it tasted amazing. That's the only thing I can really tell you because I was literally like 8.
All right.
Okay, good.
So you may have fond nostalgic memories from the taste, but you don't
remember. This is true.
Gotcha. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. All right. I think we got time to squeeze in another one before the break. Let's go to Tim. Line one, please. Panorama City. Candy bars is on Tim's mind. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hey, good. Allie.
Hey.
Ooh. We appreciate you calling. What you got?
Listen, there was a candy bar when I was a child that was amazing. They don't make anymore. It's called a Marathon Bar.
Oh, I remember that.
Now, check this out. Yeah, it was this braided caramel that was just wrapped in chocolate. And the caramel stretched for days. It was amazing.
Is that a good thing?
The name Marathon Bar. Yeah.
Have you tried Nutrageous? Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Right?
I'm a big Reese's fan, but it's not my favorite.
Okay.
I mean, you really found Kevin's wheelhouse here.
Yeah. And by the way, Nutrageous was also the name of Kevin's sex tape. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
I think I saw that. Yeah.
I'm sure. You'd never forget it if you did. 1-800-520-1067. What's the product you'd like them to bring back? We want to take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just had to foster the people. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Jason in Pacoima. Hi.
Morning, guys. Long time, first time.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome news. We're talking about products that they discontinued that you'd love to have come back, just like new Coke is coming out in honor of Stranger Things this summer. What do you have to add to the list?
That's right. I wish that they would bring back 3D Doritos. They were basically puffed up versions of regular Doritos, but they came in a cool little package, and they were just missed them for... nostalgic purposes.
Do you guys remember 3D Doritos at all?
I don't, but they sound amazing.
They were like little bugles, but Doritos.
Little, yeah, like
little. Yeah.
Could you
little...
play them?
No. The bugle chips.
No,
that
how
were, like,
dare
puffy?
How dare him not know what bugles are?
You know what bugles are?
Okay, I got you. Got you.
Yeah, they look like that.
You know we were talking about chips.
No,
right?
I was unaware. No,
it didn't come out of nowhere.
That was right in your like elementary school lunch bag type of palette.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so we will allow it. We're going to say yes. We're going to sign your petition to bring back 3D Doritos. What was the WWE ice cream you were talking about, Jetson?
They were like 80s wrestlers on an ice cream bar. It was like Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, and they were just drawn on it, and they were cool. People want them.
Well, they got to bring them back. Yep. We'll take more calls after Foster the People on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Just a side note, Allie's losing it.
Yeah, yeah. She just really had a full-on attack during
losing
that break.
It.
I'm telling you, if you watch a video by Lewis Capaldi for someone you love, you will
cry.
Right, exactly. Wow. So sorry, we're out of time. Talking about products that have been discontinued, you want them to come back. Trayvon from Anaheim says, I'm not sure if you guys recall, but back in the day, Heinz used to create a purple ketchup as well as green.
Yes, I do know that.
What was the point of that? Did it taste the same?
Yep, tastes the same. No point.
No point.
But I do want to shout out Miguel Paz, a common contributor to the show, who tweeted Dunkaroos. Graham crackers, you dipped in frosting, and he is right.
Dunkaroos.
Bring back the Dunkaroos.
Agreed.
Yes. Two more real quick, then we'll go back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Paul writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean, 30 years ago, Carl's Jr. French fries were made out of freeze-dried mashed potato pellets. The pellets were dropped into the deep fryer and expanded into crinkle-shaped fries. They were really good, but super fake, like Pringles are to potato chips, but I miss them.
Those crinkle fries ruled.
And Jose writes in, okay, one more because party, hashtag Radeon Durf, and he sent in a picture of a bottle of Quaaludes, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. That's the product he misses, is Quaaludes.
Those crinkle fries rule.
Yeah, that happened.
Let's go to Michelle, line 6, please, Lake Forest. A lot of food and drink. We do have a couple of other things we're going to get into, but let's take care of Michelle first. What's going on?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Long, long time listener.
Thank you.
The 80s, long time.
Wow. Yeah. Whoa.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, I was on the plane with you guys to the pop tour in La Vegas to see you too.
Oh, man, that was a long time ago.
Did one of your kids dial the phone for you this morning?
When they were stuck in the lemon?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
All right. Okay. What's your
good,
product?
Good call. Planner's cheese balls.
Planters cheese balls.
Oh, yes, yes.
They still made those.
No, they don't.
New can.
They don't.
No.
This is a can that would pop the top, right? It was like the way fruit salad or whatever has that sort of pull out. And you could hurt yourself with that kind of top, which is probably why it was discontinued. But the cheese balls were very good. She's right.
They were very good. I agree. Thank you for the call. Bye, Michelle. That's what she gets for getting on the airways. Let's go to Jen and Corona, please. Line 8 up next on K-Rock.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We are good. Thank you. What would you like to bring back?
Oh, the Super Socko. It used to be like that energy drink that, you know, back in the 90s, we used to mix it with vodka and stuff at our parties in the 90s.
The Super Socko.
What is Super Socko?
I don't know.
It's like a Gatorade, and they had it in a glass bottle, and it used to be in, like, the English Premier, like, soccer leagues, and they had it in California for a while, but it had, like, a grapefruit kind of thing, and you mixed it with alcohol, like gin and juice kind of thing, so... they would do it with like gin and Socko or vodka and Socko.
It sounds like it doesn't matter. They would just mix any alcohol with it.
It really doesn't matter. Yeah, basically it tasted the same at the end. So it was awesome.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like a worthwhile product that somebody should still be making. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
I have breaking news.
Yeah, this is breaking news.
Planters cheese balls are back, you guys.
They came back at the end of last year.
Yeah, they said, you guys asked, you shall receive.
Wow.
Planters cheese balls are back.
I even said I thought they still made those. I feel like I've
seen them.
You don't
have to take credit for everything.
No, but I really did feel like I've seen them recently.
By the way, it was gone for 12 years and just came back last year.
That's huge.
Huge deal. I can't believe people are even talking about Mueller. We just found out cheese balls are back.
Let's go to Tony in Riverside because he is completely the opposite of every other call, and I want to find out what's going wrong in Tony's life.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's a good start to say what's wrong with your life.
Well, products that you miss. Tony's got one that I don't think would come to our mind ever, but what is it?
So when you go to the ice cream man, you would buy these little styrofoam airplanes you would build, and you would throw it one time, and it would break as soon as it hit the ground.
Oh, I love those. They were like self-destructive.
Exactly. Yeah, it used to cost me like, you know, take a week for me to, you know, save up money to buy it, and then one throw it would break.
Because it always went good for a second and then just nosedived.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yes.
Why did you like them then?
Right.
Why do you want them to come back?
I mean, is it like a fireworks thing where it only lasts for a second, but it's just such a thrill while it's happening?
No, I want my son to experience how hard life is.
Look, he needs to learn somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. That's life true. Is tough, and then you die. Thank you very much for the call, Tony. Let's do one more, and let's make it Osvaldo in Southgate. And it does say Osvaldo, so I hope that's his name.
Is that your name, Osvaldo?
It's Osvaldo, actually.
That's
Osvaldo.
Yeah, okay, all right. What's your product? You're the final call.
Hi, so there was this candy that I used to buy from the ice cream truck in the late 90s,
mm-hmm.
and it was called Raven's Revenge. So what it was like a pixie stick on crack,
mm-hmm.
and it used to come in a vial that looked like a tube where you put blood.
What?
Yeah. It was like in a canister like that you would get your blood put
like
in.
Like a test tube? Oh.
But they were all different bright colors.
Yeah, and they took it off the market because it came out on the news. It resembled the drug. It looked like an actual drug that kids were eating.
Oh, I see. Okay,
so you want to bring that back.
Here's
okay.
The best part.
Yes, yes.
When you whatever color you would eat, that was the color that your turd would come out.
That your poop would come out?
Yeah, green, red, blue.
Oh, that's a miracle. Yeah.
That is. I can't believe.
Allie knows.
I know. Osvaldo, come on.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
5 minutes away or so from the K-Rock Weenie Rose Luau and Beach Party tickets for you. It's a week from Saturday at the Doheny State Beach. We got a great lineup this year, and it's going to be on the beach for the first time ever. It's going to be super, super fun. You can buy your tickets at frontgatetickets.com, or you can win them coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show as soon as Allie stops rashing us and gets to
it's
the what's
not
happening.
A thing, dude.
Not a thing.
What's going on?
Not a thing.
Quit rashing us, Allie.
Again, not
Slangman. Slangman said it was a thing.
Not that a means thing. It's real.
Right.
I don't even think Slangman's a thing.
He's on the team. He is an expert.
He's real to me.
Nope. All right, guys.
Maybe he's your real dad, Jensen. You ever think about that?
I've thought about it. I mean, we do have similar traits. We want to know what the youth is up to.
You're both liars.
Yeah, we're both liars.
You got that going for you.
We need to find out from KCAL who booked that.
Oh.
And if they're still employed.
And we need to book him.
Oh, we do. We do need to book him.
I mean, 100%.
His YouTube page I went to mm-hmm. after the segment because I was like, I need to know more. And I really only wanted to watch that one video yesterday. And now I've watched a bunch of them, 30 views each. And it's him breaking down slang he's heard on television earlier that day. So he'll have like a Modern Family report or like a AP bio report, whatever slang's used.
Unbelievable.
In it. Yeah.
Yet you said that he was showing Good Morning America doing a weather report, and they said they used the word wallop for a storm. That's slang.
Yeah, no, all his slang is early 20s. I think that's
what is he doing?
Early 20s, early 30s. That's his wheelhouse of slang.
Very strange.
Love him.
He's like, and you heard about these newsies.
I mean, Fred Armisen is just talented. I think that's what we're all saying.
He did a great job.
Very true. All right, guys, here was the original story yesterday, and people were flipping out because Kit Harington. We all know him, Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. Apparently hit really hard by Game of Thrones coming to an end. So hard that he checked himself into a rehab center for stress and alcohol before the final episode aired. According to the New York Post, he entered a luxury Connecticut facility for a mental health retreat weeks before the May 19th finale. And he's been getting treatment for stress, exhaustion, and alcohol abuse.
Hey, I'm glad Jon Snow's getting better. What about his little ghost dog that just wanted to get petted? What about that?
Then TMZ said that Kit's reps got back to them, and said he has decided to utilize this break in his schedule as an opportunity to spend some time at a wellness retreat to work on some personal issues. They say he's not there for rehab and emphasize the words wellness retreats.
Why does anyone care? He's taking some time for himself. Great.
Yes. Well, do you care that the facility is believed to cost over $120,000 a month? What kind of wellness happens there?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you care?
$120,000 per month.
What could be worth that much?
I don't know.
Maybe they built the wellness center just for him.
That could make, yeah, that makes sense.
That would be fine.
Okay, all right. Maybe
he also owns the property now.
Okay, all right. Hey, if you like Stone Cold Steve Austin, maybe you enjoy his podcast. Maybe you dug his reality competition series, Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge. Why do I love that so much? USA Network has announced that the former wrestler will host his own talk show, Straight Up Steve Austin. It's been picked up for 7 episodes, you guys.
He good.
Some of the guests will include NFL quarterback Baker Mayfield, country singer Trace Adkins, NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt Jr., comics Gabriel Iglesias, Rob Riggle, Sal Vulcano, and a superstar from the WWE, Becky Lynch.
Hiya, folks.
Hi, folks. Straight Up Steve Austin will be premiering on August 12th on the USA Network.
I'm into it. He's very good on his podcast. If you ever want to hear a guy talk about how it was better back in the 90s.
I love it.
Sounds great. He's very good.
You're really selling it.
He is good.
We've all discussed on the show if we've ever visited a place where a movie was shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this specific store, it's the Notting Hill Bookshop. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you remember it from the movie Notting Hill.
Perhaps I was in it about a month ago.
Luck out.
Like everyone else who goes into that part of town and goes, oh, we got to go to the bookshop from the movie.
Well, the manager of Notting Hill Bookshop says that he keeps a box of Kleenex on hand for visitors who come from far to toast the classic movie of the same name. It celebrated its 20th anniversary yesterday, you guys. Notting Hill is 20 years old.
Bean, what do you do when you get there?
Yeah, what do you look for?
I love independent bookstores, so I just like to see what books they're
selling. So unrelated to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Unrelated to the movie, okay. But yeah, that was definitely part of it. I mean, I would have gone into any bookstore, but the fact that it was the one for the movie, I thought was pretty cool.
Did you take a pic outside?
I did not.
No. Do you just think everyone that walks in says to the owner, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy?
I hope not. I hope not.
It's not where the scene is, right? It's just from the movie.
Oh, no, that's the scene.
Yeah.
In that bookstore. No, in the bookstore.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
Daisy. Such a good movie.
It's so good.
My question, though, like if you were to walk in and you didn't want the guy to know that you weren't a local, how would you ask for a book, Bean?
Why are you doing this to me again?
You told us the story about a month ago.
All I said was I went into the bookstore. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that I spoke with anyone.
And what did you say?
What did you say? Like, if you didn't want him to know that you were, you know, a guy from America, you want to fit in.
Hello, I'm just a local in here looking for something to read.
Yep, because you would definitely make sure he knows you're a local.
Start with the words, I'm just a local.
I'm just a local. Ask for maybe a specific book.
I'm just a man standing in front of another man asking if you've got a copy of Winnie the Pooh.
I'm not going to lie. I like the way you say poo.
That's how I would have asked it.
I was taking him serious until he picked Winnie the Pooh as his book.
But what if right as I leave the store, there's a commotion out on the street in Notting Hill? And,
oh, because the queen?
Yes, a Rolls Royce pulls
up. Yes, driving
by. And then a little man gets out and opens up the back and Her Majesty walks into the store. And now she wants to ask for something in the Notting Hill bookstore.
I'd like...
He doesn't know a
improv.
Book.
No,
he doesn't
even
know a
name
book.
Gavin
doesn't know the title of the book. No.
Well, A, true, but B, I didn't realize that Bean was setting me up for that voice.
Okay.
I was just like, oh, that's weird. The queen drove by. I wonder why she would have done that. And then she goes to the store. That seems odd. Was that in the movie? So that happened.
Oh. Gavin is a national treasure, you guys.
Good Lord.
Good story. Yeah, the queen. Yeah.
That's really weird. I need to watch the movie again. I don't remember that part.
I can't wait to hear how it ends, Kevin. I wonder what the queen is going to say.
Oh, wait, it's me.
Oh, that was amazing. All right, some birthdays for you guys. Annette Bening, Rupert Everett, Danny Elfman, Noel Gallagher, Melanie Brown, Scary Spice with the Spice Girls, Laverne Cox, and Daniel Tosh.
Congratulations, Mark Gamo from Long Beach. Just won 2 tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast Luau and Beach Party at Doheny State Beach June 8th, which is a week from Saturday. You got another chance to win coming up every hour between now and 5 p.m. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:06.
I have a thing that I'm very interested in discussing, but I have been blindsided
by the Westfield Topanga situation. I feel like instead we need to devote the time to solving one of the great mysteries of our time. Jensen, I'm going to hand it over to you right now.
Yeah.
Since you are actually married to Topanga, I think this is a category that you should explain rather
well,
than
I somehow found a mystery more complex than the idea that the woman who played Topanga goes to the Topanga Plaza a lot, which is kind of crazy, but not as crazy.
Do people bring that up, by the way, when they run into her in the mall?
No, they don't say it, but right. Muggs, who's the engineer extraordinaire this week, he did say he saw her as a child in that mall and thought it was very strange.
It was like Inception.
I understand.
Yeah, totally.
I get it. I can't believe I found something crazier, which is for the last, I guess, 2 years, I have noticed that on a parking garage at the Topanga Westfield Topanga Mall, it says Westfield, which everyone knows if you're a Los Angeles resident, that's signature in red.
Right.
So it says that in large. And then above it, where it would say Topanga, that would make a ton of sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Instead, it's a name of the mall.
Name of the mall. Instead, it says Topanga, as we all think. And in front of the Topanga, completely filling up the entire sign, very large sign, perfectly fitting it, is an NGA in front of the Topanga. So NGA Topanga.
All right, I have a question for you because I've been to that mall many, many, many times.
Yes.
Is this new or has it always said that?
So last night I tweeted about it.
Okay.
Because
saw that. That's what got me interested.
We have talked, Danielle and I have talked about it for months. It has bothered me. We've really contemplated. We've played out every scenario as to why that would be the case. And last night I tweeted about it, and a lot of people have this way to check Google Maps from years back.
Oh, to see the sign before? Okay.
Correct. It has said NGA Topanga since 2007 for sure.
Wow.
Because the people found pictures of that. Like, right. Now, the mall has went under tons of reconstruction. At any time spending this money, they could have fixed this sign.
Right.
I can't figure out for the life of me why an NGA would start the Topanga, and it fits perfectly, so it's not like it ever said Topanga, 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 but let's also not pretend that would be insane.
Right.
Of course it would be. Okay, here's the question. I'm looking at your photo right now.
Yeah.
Does it look to you like the NGA and then the rest of the Topanga word are separate letters, or is it all printed out together on
no.
one
Looks the
thing?
Same.
I would say my belief
are
from looking at it
letters?
Is that they are separated.
Okay. They're separate letters. So it would have been very easy at any point for somebody to go and just remove the front NGA.
I mean,
then they
yes.
have to move over the Topanga.
They would move
though.
Over the Topanga, correct. Mm-hmm. They would move
but
it over
be done.
To center it, and it should be done. Now,
right.
someone last night on Twitter did also notice that the A in Topanga, the ending A, is sliced a bit to fit the sign, as well as the first N is sliced a bit. So
I love this.
What are they doing?
They have interns doing their sign.
Yeah, like what are they doing that it was sliced to fit on that sign? And how come no one has... Now, I want to go over North Garage Access. It's not on the north side of the mall.
It's not terrible.
So,
okay.
Which
what
I thought,
about the Nerd Girl Alert, though? What about that?
Yeah, someone did bring up Nerd Girl Alert, which I thought was kind of odd for the mall.
To reach.
Yeah, I also want to say there's no SGA, WGA, EGA. There's no directionals. You know, this is also just not the North Garage. It is bonkers, and it is a mystery for the ages.
Is the company that owns it Westfield?
Yes.
And is it possible that there's a bigger company that's...
Yes, and I have emailed both of them.
I did say to myself, there's no one with a more journalistic background than her on this staff, because immediately
she's
she said...
She's our own Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, immediately she said, well, I've emailed them. We did retweet it on @KevinandBean right now, so you guys can see the picture, but it is truly a mystery that... I can't fathom the design. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
I can't bizarre. Either because there was a meeting where they said, okay, it's called the Topanga Mall. Mm-hmm. Here's what the sign should look like. And somebody should have raised his or her hand and said, why are there three extra letters? It's the Topanga Mall.
Mm-hmm. And then somebody else said, oh, it was a mistake. And then they all sat there for a minute
but
and
I
they
don't
went,
think it was a mistake.
You guys want pizza?
I got to be honest with you. I don't know how it could be a mistake.
I agree. I don't think it is a mistake. I think it was a conscious choice, but why? I can't understand what they're going for.
Now, if at the end of the traditional Topanga, if at the end of the final A, it then said T-O-P, terrible idea, and you shouldn't be in charge of logos, but at least I see the common sense of it.
Like they were finishing it.
Yeah, like, it's almost like a scroll.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you're seeing it passing. But I just can't
I can't tackle it.
And it's been there over 10 years.
That's what I was told yesterday by these Google Map histories.
Thousands of people have seen it and probably had this question. I wonder if anyone's ever asked them before. I wonder if Allie is the first. There's a guy sitting in an office just waiting for an email.
I got an email.
Or what if I just won like $1 million?
Right? They're like someone, once they finally notice and ask it, they win.
It's like like Da Vinci Code. I solved Da Vinci's
very
code.
Very similar. But
also, a couple people yesterday from the Valley did tweet at me and say, you know, this has been killing me. There were other people who've been bothered by it, and I just don't understand it.
Well, I got a response, and they said, we will respond to your email inquiry within 48 hours. Okay. You may also contact our guest services team by text message, and then listed the times.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the time by 5 minutes. Oh,
come on.
5 minutes! Oh, I was like, we could have solved this.
There went the Pulitzer.
But also, it says, if there's an immediate security concern, please call, and then a number. And I thought, Do I do it?
I do have concerns.
The answer to that is absolutely.
A lot of concerns.
This mall, it is our hometown mall since we were children, both Danielle and I. And it's our favorite mall. And it's almost like we've wanted to fix this for them. Yes. Like we want.
All right, here's what we do. Yeah. We go in the middle of the night.
Yeah. No,
we wear ski masks.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then we just paint over the NGA.
Right.
And we
right.
take care of it for them. I think they'll thank us.
And we have to cut the end of that final A off. We have to slice that.
All of it should be sliced.
All of it needs help.
I mean, maybe we need to replace the whole thing.
Yeah.
They got to change it, guys. This,
right?
This can't stand. But it doesn't make any sense.
No, and again, I just want to reiterate all of the thoughts you're having as to why. If you're listening right now, and you have to remember it fits perfectly on the sign.
Yeah. I'm going to say it was put there on purpose.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the problem.
So why?
With all of your theories, just continue to remember it fits perfectly.
Okay, dumb question, but then we have to move on.
There are no dumb questions.
Okay.
Only
Wait
dumb people.
For it.
Only
is
a dumb mall.
Is it possible that there was a company, I know this is stupid, but we just got to rule everything out, right?
Yes, please.
Is it possible that there was a company before Westfield bought the shopping center whose initials were NGA? That was the name of the company that owned the Topanga Mall before Westfield.
No, before it was Westfield, it was the Topanga Mall.
Topanga Plaza was its name before the
Topanga. I don't know who owned it. Yeah. That's why I'm throwing it
I
out
don't
there.
Believe it was owned by, I mean, it was obviously owned, but it was not owned by a larger company that would have had a name. But it was called the Topanga Plaza at that time, which again gets us nowhere.
Right. So now it's the NGA Topanga Westfield.
Yes. And by the way, if they want to commit to that, please do. The NGA Topanga Plaza or the Westfield NGA Topanga. We'll just call it that.
Have you gone to the other parking garages?
Yes.
And they all say NGA?
No.
No, just that
just
one.
This one.
Okay, that is weird.
Yeah, no, I've been to all the garages. I made sure there's no SGA. You know,
right,
I've done
right,
all the
right.
things I have to do. Okay. Also, it's not the north side of the mall.
You've done your due diligence.
Scares me that you have checked all the signs, though.
Oh, yeah. Danielle and I'm like Indiana Jones. She's like Short Round. We're just walking around the mall trying to solve this mystery.
How is Danielle, A, not the face of this mall?
I know.
And she should be the one that they reach out to and say, listen, Danielle, we are sorry.
Yeah, we are sorry that we blew this.
Let us fix this.
What if they never saw it? What if they put it up and you're going to point it out and they're going to go,
what the hell?
Why does that say that?
Crystal Waters just tweeted it and says, it looks like the word Topanga just wraps around the top. I wonder if there are letters on the backside of the sign. By the way, not
bad.
One of the better suggestions.
Yeah.
I would say I don't see any letters behind, but what a decision that would be.
We should go right now.
I know. This is Field Trip City.
Please, keep us posted. Now, will we solve this mystery first or hear back from Limp Bizkit? Which is likely to happen first?
I'm going to say neither.
Quite a toss.
Nope.
Don't even say it. I hate you so much.
Why do you hate me?
I love that song so much.
And
now
too.
When I hear it, I'm just going to think of Bean throwing me under the bus.
What?
Here's what happened.
Under the bus.
Here's what happened yesterday, Bean. Or Kevin.
Kevin.
Whichever one you are.
Whoever you are. I can't tell your voices apart.
I'm the one in the room.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Bean sends me a story, and I didn't have a chance to read it or listen to the audio, and he goes, oh, we're playing Billie Eilish right now. Do it for the first What's Happening. And I'm like, well, I haven't even listened to it yet. And he's like, it'll be fine. So I set this whole thing up.
That's a bad sign, by the way.
Oh, 100%. Set this whole thing up with how Billie Eilish was on the Hot Ones.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to eat the hot wing and blah, blah, blah. And the guy that does that show did a remix of the sounds that she was making during it.
And she was like, wait. Do you hear it?
Wait till you hear it, you guys.
It's a banger.
Screams, laughs, like different burps, all these sounds remixed in. And then...
Okay, now before you hit it, though, Kevin, if you read that description, wouldn't you then be interested in hearing what it sounded like?
I believe so, but it seems like an oversell.
I totally would want to know, because Bean sent it to me so pumped, you can't let it go by and not do it right now.
Even though, Allie,
you haven't listened to it to make sure it's amazing. Now,
in the middle of a song, he'll yell at us sometimes.
I hadn't listened to it either, though.
What? And that became very apparent when this happened.
No, wait for it, Kevin.
No, wait. You're going to get the screams and the burps and the laughs. Oh, no. It's just the same?
Okay.
Cool.
Here it comes. It's coming.
Yeah, here's the drop. Right
so
now.
Far, I love it.
Here's the drop.
Here it comes. The real good part that's different. Hold on.
Okay, not yet, but I need it
right
some point.
Right here.
Oh, yeah. New drop.
Okay, no. Still sounds the same.
Just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Bean didn't listen to it.
No.
You didn't listen to it. And we just threw it on.
Sure did.
Yeah, and then here it comes.
Okay, this is a good part.
Here it is. Nope.
That's it.
Why?
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah.
How, but.
But how come you.
I don't.
But it,
didn't.
At
but
least.
This is what I love about Bean, though, is that. He'll send it, having not listened to it, and then harass you until you do it.
Yeah, you gonna play that? You gonna play that?
He doesn't even know what it is.
Play it here.
Yeah, literally, we were playing Bad Guy, and he's like, "Allie, you need to do the story." And I said, "I haven't listened to it yet." Oh, 30 seconds. I'm like, "Okay, fine. Let me click on the article." So I'm literally reading the article, and I'm getting excited to hear it. Right? It's got all these different sounds. No. Yeah.
I love it.
At least we did play it throughout the whole what's happening. I would just keep pointing at mugs at like really inopportune times.
Wow.
So it made us laugh. Yeah. But
I mean, in the end, we won.
We won.
I don't
define one.
We didn't get the most out of whatever sound she was making while eating the hot wings.
Right.
This
unless
can't
she only
be it.
Did she only made this sound?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's a jam, though.
I can't.
It really is.
It's not insane. A remix that elevates the song.
No.
Right. Right. All right.
And I blame Omar somehow.
You really did. You're like, oh, did Omar not listen? He just laid it down? That was your fault, Bean. All of it.
Look.
No look.
Oh,
look.
She's right.
It was amazing.
Let me hear it again, though. Maybe the problem is
with fresh ears.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nope. See, still the same.
Now you get it.
Nope.
But I think
still the same.
The point is that you harass people to do stuff that you haven't heard.
Yeah.
That's actually true. All right. I see your point.
Yeah. Guys, I want to give you something.
Oh, good.
I feel like an asshole.
Well, you should. Dark Phoenix arrives in theaters on June 7th. This is Sophie Turner, Jennifer Lawrence, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender. Jean Grey begins to develop incredible powers that corrupt and turn her into Dark Phoenix.
I will tell you my emotions in one word.
Samesies. Now the X-Men will have to decide if the life of a team member is worth more than all the people living in the world. Yeah, you could see it on June 7th. But wouldn't you rather see it a couple days earlier on June 5th at the K-Rock advanced screening of Dark Phoenix at ArcLight Hollywood? I know you would. Let's take callers 20 through 24 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to get that pair of passes.
Hello.
Hello. You guys, I did this story earlier, and it brings me so much joy. We talk about it all the time. You see someone's name trending, you immediately think, oh, they're dead, or B, they've been Me Too'd, or C, they murdered someone. There's no in between.
No other way.
But this is some of the best news. Alex Trebek is calling it, quote, kind of mind-boggling. But the Jeopardy host says he's in near remission 3 months after he announced his stage 4 pancreatic cancer diagnosis.
Don't let the cancer fool you. He's an asshole.
No, he is not.
Supposed to happen.
9% survival rate.
Wow.
It's stage 4. Like, it takes you. Absolutely.
I think he's a pussy.
He is not. Doctors said that they haven't seen this kind of positive result in their memory. Some of the tumors have already shrunk by more than 50%.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
He is a dick.
He is none of those things. He's wonderful. Alex Trebek says he has several more rounds of chemo, but he remains in very good spirits.
He is
a prolific, if you will, liar and killer and murderer.
He is none of those things. He's a wonderful host and a delightful man, and I want him to live forever. And I'm just so happy, you guys.
He's my favorite producer in the world because I'm really into musical production and beats and stuff. And
yeah.
I think he's the number one when it comes to that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Excellent. Same. Bean, you know what a CPN is over there in Britain?
A CPN? Nothing comes to mind?
Okay. Well, it's a community projection notice.
Don't know what that is.
They were introduced in 2014. They can be issued by local councils to prevent residents from disrupting the lives of their neighbors. Here's the thing. You better be careful over there in Britain of how you express yourself, even in your own home. If you're crying too loudly, that's a problem.
Really?
My new neighbors better look out then.
That's what I'm saying. You could be crying loudly, arguing, just listening to music a little bit too loud.
Watching any kind of TV show too loud.
Anything, and you are going to get a CPN.
In the movies, villains always have British accents, even the Nazis. How is that fair?
But how would you respond if, let's say, I banged on your door, I'm a bobby, those are police, and I'm like, sir, why are you crying so much? What would you say?
Because you keep harassing me by banging on the door day and night. Oh, I'm just trying to live over here quietly, and you make so much noise.
It's a twist. He says you are knocking on the door too much.
Right.
The police are knocking on the
door. Right back at you.
Okay, so it's like a chicken egg situation.
Yes.
Are you positive you understood that?
I don't think you want to come at the police so soon into moving there. So
look
let's
at you. You don't even carry guns. I could probably take you.
What do they have? They have little sticks, right?
Yeah, just little
sticks.
They're
like the Keystone Cops.
Right.
Yeah, they swing around.
They're not even real cops.
But, sir, why are you crying so much?
I'm unemployed.
I
had a good job back in America, and I left it to follow my dreams.
Is there anything we can do for you, sir?
You could make me a cuppa. Just a nice cuppa and some soup.
Soup?
Really? Soup had no accent. It was just elongated.
Just some soup. It was some soup.
Just some soup.
I need hot beverages.
Soup.
Why am I spending so much time talking to the cops?
I don't know.
And they have concerns and you don't care about them.
Oh, gosh, you're a delight.
Do I need to do a podcast to be sitting in my apartment in Britain, not having a job?
Yes.
I would listen to it all day.
But with that accent, right?
But with the accent.
It has to go in and out.
Without
for sure.
The accent, I'm out.
Yeah.
But,
I'm so sad.
I'm so sad. What have I done? I had a great job back home.
Such a sad podcast.
It's just the same thing every day.
Even Elliot Smith hears it like, that's too much.
I don't think he's going to hear it, though.
Bad news, yeah.
I think I'd wake up like on day 354 and I'd go, I still don't have work. Looks like I'm on the internet. It looks like they're having a good time at K-Rock.
Okay, maybe this just got sad.
It kind of did.
I mean, okay. Real quick, you guys, another day, another dating term. This one, a little bit creepy.
Is this from Mr. Slang?
No. do you know what tinstagramming is?
Tinstagramming?
Mm-hmm.
You take a picture of boobs?
Tinda with an ND. Tinstagram.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look, all right. It's all boobs to be.
Is it checking out their Instagram after seeing them on Tinder?
Yes, but it's because they didn't swipe on you, so there wasn't a match. So you then find them and essentially stalk them on Twitter and then DM them.
Oh, I know someone where that happened to, and they dated for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow, that's weird.
Well, this dating expert, Samantha Burns, says essentially it's you going to their
house,
to their Instagram because of a bruised ego.
Yeah.
They didn't swipe on you, so you're like, I'll show them. And it's a less conventional way of boosting your chances now because you're like, oh, you didn't swipe on me. I'll find you over at Instagram and harass you there.
Wait, and that's supposed to help?
It's creepy.
Yeah,
no.
I thought it was weird, but I know someone where they didn't get married or anything, but they dated for a while, and he was like, oh, I was really into her, and then to find out we didn't match, bummed me out. So I went to her Instagram and DM'd her and was like, I saw you on this dating app.
Wow.
We didn't match. I'd love to
take you out.
But
let me ask you guys this question, and this isn't me being creepy, but this is me not knowing anything about dating apps.
is it possible for somebody to think, wow, I thought that we would match. I wonder if she just missed it. I wonder if she just didn't see it.
Says the guy most likely to do this.
No, like I said, I don't know anything about dating apps. Is it possible that somebody can have indicated interest in you and you get so many of those that you just don't see or spend any time or pay any attention to all of them?
What I would rather have them say in that case would be something like, I just want them to pretend they didn't see me on the dating app.
Right. They just saw me on Instagram. Missed it altogether.
Yeah. Just in general.
Okay.
Like, oh, I saw you on Instagram. Thought you were cute. But you know deep down your relationship is built on lies.
Oh, my God. I got to see me a boob.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I didn't just say that.
Tinstagram.
So you're saying it's creepy. There's no way that this isn't creepy. No. Okay.
Yeah, it seems a bit creepy.
I'd just rather you pretend you never saw me on the dating app and we started over on Instagram.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
And again, everything's built on a lie.
Yeah. Right. Everything. Yeah. From top to bottom. But,
which is fine.
Top to bottom, total curse of lies.
I'm so lucky I'm married to you guys.
Yeah. You think? Yeah.
There it is. It's a jam.
It is. It's a bop.
It is a jam.
And it certainly had everything I promised it would have in it.
You lied.
Certainly lived up to the hype.
Oh, happy birthday. Rupert Everett, Annette Bening, Noel Gallagher, Danny Elfman, Scary Spice, Melanie Brown, Laverne Cox, and Daniel Tosh. And that's what is on.
Thanks, Allie. And your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning,
Kevin, what about Kevin?
An all-new Kevin and Bean show with Jensen's Get Up on This, like we do on Thursdays. We also check in with Dr. Drew, and the very funny Jordan Klepper joins us in studio.